Here we go. It's the big moment, the big opener to the show. James, have you got your keyboard ready?
What?
I'm looking forward to this.
Have you got your keyboard ready?
Well, no, obviously not.
Well,
this you're not bothered.
No.
Every fucking time. What?
No, this is not. I didn't agree to play the to play us in. I never agreed to do that.
Sorry, there was no agreement.
There was no agreement. You do realise this was a punishment.
I don't even remember what this was for. What was it for?
For the reverb. For the insane amount of reverb on your first keyboard.
Which hasn't gone away.
You said you played
No, it's still there.
I know it's still there, but I can't do anything about that yet. I mean, we just haven't got any curtains.
No,
it's...
but what you could have done something about is prepare for your... the thing that we've been speaking about
for
the
last 2 weeks. I've done it. Look, I've recorded a video of it.
Oh, no, 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 no.
No, I'm not playing it live. I can't...
Because surely, unless the video is heavily edited, surely it just demonstrates that you're capable of playing it in one go anyway.
Well,
yeah. How many attempts did he have?
Yeah, true.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
How many attempts did he have?
Is this the
15th take?
There was a couple of takes.
The whole point was that you were going to do it live, James.
No, I don't think it was. I thought the whole point was that I was supposed to just play it. And then
You should have confirmed. If you're having a pub, but like, if you get a fine, like a speeding fine or whatever, do you say, oh, I've sent in a tenner? I didn't agree to send in the full amount.
I paid the fine and take the points on the license, is what would
exactly.
happen.
Exactly. And the problem was, yeah, you did the crime, all that reverb. And you're not paying. You're trying to swerve the fine, James.
I'm not. I've done it. I've done the recording.
No, it wasn't a recording, though, James. The whole point was to do it live.
I can't do it live. It'll be reverbing all over the place. The kids will wake up.
Reverb on it. Does reverb work the same on musical notes?
Almost certainly.
I mean, I guess. Yeah, because it'd just be playing out the speaker on the keyboard, right?
Hold on. You couldn't play it live because of the reverb.
Yeah.
So how is that any different with this recording?
That's a good question. And I don't have an answer
like
to that.
Answer.
But I was quite... But no, the video... Look, I've done a video. I've put it... You can watch the video and then you can tell me what you think.
What? I've done the video. This is a podcast, James. No one can see the video.
I don't know. You put it on our channel or something. I don't know.
Let's play it. Has everyone got the video? I've found the video. It's in the Dropbox, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
It's this one.
Oh, hang on. The Dropbox.
I'm quite scared about
this.
This was not easy to do.
I don't give a fuck, James. You fucked another good bit. Go on. Well, let's see. Let's see how good this video is that no one can see.
Yes, I have the video.
Okay. Right, ready? Everyone, 3, 2, 1, and we hit play.
Okay.
3, 2, 1.
I mean... I love the get-up.
Is that a hole in the T-shirt, James, on the top right?
Is
that
it's
part
a stain.
Of the design?
No, it's a bleach
stain. It's a stain, okay.
It's a bleach stain.
This is great. Sensational.
I did a key change.
How is it sensational, Matt?
It wasn't especially.
At his face.
It wasn't especially accurate, I must say.
That's fine with you. But this is the thing: the whole bit was get him to play it live. Obviously, he'll make mistakes live, and it'll be funny, and we'll make it into a big bit.
Yeah.
Instead, he's had several attempts where he's tried to record that video. He's done it pretty well. Well done, James. You did that pretty well, right? But where's the joke then? Where's the end of that joke?
What do you mean? It's not a joke.
It's
not a joke. It was just a punishment, right? So I've done it. It's fine.
The best bit of the video was how intense you were looking at the screen. And no one's going to see that on the podcast, are they?
Well, yeah, maybe not. But like I said, you can just put it on the YouTube channel or whatever. I don't know.
Also, I don't know about you guys, but I heard a bit of reverb on that instrument then. I don't know if you've noticed that.
It was
that,
quite echoey, yeah.
Which was the one reason why he said he didn't want to do it live. So I just...
I told you, I got no answer for that. Like, and I've still got this as a problem because there's still not enough stuff in this room. It's still reverbing all over the place and I've got rubbish curtains.
What do you mean you've got rubbish curtains?
Well, they're not rubbish
curtains.
You said
you had no curtains.
Some rubbish curtains.
I've got no curtains. They're kind of blinds, but
that's
they're
the worst kind of curtains going.
Have you not seen what James has got?
I haven't. Sure. No.
He posted a picture on Twitter. It's basically folded up bits of paper that dangle from the top of his window down. Okay. Why didn't you just get curtains?
Because I haven't got round to it yet. There's been other things to deal with.
Like what?
Like getting a washing machine. You know, I don't know, installing kitchen stuff. There's been all that sort of stuff. Curtains have not been a priority.
You completed WarioWare last week.
I was going to mention this in my feedback.
Sorry, Sean.
WarioWare does not take long. You can knock it out in about an hour or so.
I get that. That's fine. What? But you mentioned that you'd finished it, and then you mentioned that your wife is a huge fan of the series, but she's not had a chance to play it yet because she's been building furniture.
That's not true. We've both been building furniture. That's not true.
That is true. That is what you said.
That sounds worse than it is because that isn't what happened.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Look, let's put that behind us. Let's put that really disappointing resolution to that little rolling joke that we've had. Don't tell me to fuck off. You ruined it.
That took me. I spent Sunday afternoon doing that, like, you know, getting that ready and everything.
You're telling me that you spent a whole afternoon ruining the show?
Yeah. Well, also,
I'm
not a keyboardist and I'm not a natural performer, so that was quite traumatic putting that together.
No one wants you to be. Just play it live. It's funny. That's the playing instruments badly is funny. We all know that, don't we?
If we do another live show, I'll play it there. There you go.
Whoa, okay.
Okay.
Here we go. He's definitely not going to come to any live show.
if we ever do one.
Yeah,
okay.
Big if.
All right. Okay, we'll remember that. We'll note that down. This is a bit of a surprise,
but I have got Evan tickets to EGX, and I have managed to find a slot on the main stage. So, pull some favours.
I should say up front, hello and welcome to the Computer Game Show. My name's David Turn. I'm here with Sean Bell.
Hello.
James Farley.
Hello.
And Matt Murray.
Hello.
We'd like to start the show by thanking our Patreon producers this month. They're the Full Nails crew. If there's any crew worth being in, it's the Full Nails crew. And these are our Full Nails crew. Aaron Patrick, Simon Nelson, Tom S, Jack Oven, Moomin Biscuit, Dave Ernsberger, Colin Brown, Gazman, Gabby Pereira, Graham Mackay, Rocketman76, My Dog Skip, Rex Reese, Jonathan Edwards, Happy Birthday Sam, Love from Nil, aka Bitchin' Sink, and a new Full Nails member. It's the Mighty Grey Dragon Claw.
Yes,
what
mate.
Is that? Come on. What a name. What a name. Welcome to the crew, Grey Dragon Claw. Welcome to the Full Nails crew. If you would like to support us, then please head over to patreon.com/TCGS. It's not just the Full Nails tier there. We thank everyone that supports us on any of those tiers. It's really appreciated. It really helps us
out.
Keeps us doing what we do. It's kind of a big month for the Patreon bonus show. It's not out yet. It's coming out soon. But I was thinking this month, it's a Game of the Year show is not that far away. We have to have a meeting because after 2 years of Russian bots attacking our show, we need to consider how we're going to go forward with this.
It's a whole new ball game this year. We can't do the Twitter poll. We can't do all that stuff we like doing just because...
We can't do it because someone ruined it. Yeah. So we need to discuss what we're going to do in place of that. So if you're a Patreon supporter at that tier, look out for this this month's bonus podcast because it's going to be an interesting one. We're going to lay all the groundwork for this year's Game of the Year show. I'm excited. Man, honestly, I looked at my list and I'm thinking, I don't think I've had this many titles at this stage of the year on my list for a Game of the Year show.
Mm.
It's going to be big. It's going to be big. Can't wait.
That tier, by the way, to get the bonus show is the £4.50 plus VAT tier. cool. to hear it.
Go for that.
I've got to say, I have not found time to write the Sonic fanfic yet. So that's...
we may or may not have plans to deal with that situation.
All right.
Sean, yep. you weren't here last week.
Hello.
I assume you've got notes.
I have. Well, I mean, I say I have. I don't understand half of them. Two of the lines in my notes, one just says DJ Dildo, and the other one says Pirate's Log. I can't remember what they were about, but there they are.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I mean...
I've got to stop taking a sip of drink when the... it's a bit red down. DJ Dildo was the kid called Dylan that
the student radio
went to
thing.
My school
yes.
at the student radio.
Yes, fucking hell.
Yeah. He opened his show. Hello, I'm DJ Dildo.
That was it.
What was the captain's log?
Pirate's log.
Yeah, that was, wasn't it?
Ian log. Lee saying, do you ever remember we used to do that? And then it used to end with,
yeah. And he was like, yeah, you know when you do like Pirate's Log? And I, you know, sitting there listening to it by the side of the pool in Gran Canaria went, no, I've never heard of this.
No, I just assumed it was because we did that when we did like diaries, not necessarily pirate stuff, but yeah. if you were like writing a diary or whatever, yeah. there would always be a bit where it was like, oh my God, they're coming to get me. Like, yeah, we used to do that a lot as kids. Like, it's so stupid.
I mean, it was nice to find out that I'm apparently Ian's favourite, but not so nice to find out that he didn't want anyone to know. That was weird.
yeah, you're what they call a guilty pleasure. Yeah, I think that's what. Yeah, yeah. Maybe that's short. We've got Big Gun and the Guilty Pleasure. That's what the Breakaway podcast is going to be called. Big Gun and the Guilty Pleasure.
That's like a great band.
It does. The only other thing I wasn't sure if I should mention it. So yeah, so the new Spider-Man trailer, and it had Venom in it. I talk about the end of the last game or you know the first game?
I think so. Yeah.
Well, basically, so the twist is that in this Venom is Harry Osborn, who's your mate, who you think has gone off, you know, traveling the globe for a bit. And it turned, and you find out in the game that he's got this disease, and basically,
oh, is that what that is? I wonder what that was all about.
Yeah, I didn't know that was Venom. Okay. I thought that was just like green stuff.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure the implication is he's been given the Venom symbiote to try and cure him. So it's so the chat about whether or not Venom is an enemy or an ally in this is interesting because Harry is your mate, but obviously Venom has its own sort of agenda, and it could be really interesting.
But also, they both look down a dark alley, and he comes crawling out, and then they get into a fighting stance, and he's like licking his lips, looking at the two Spider-Mans.
Where is that?
So I would say enemy.
No, but this is the thing: Venom is a weird sort of is a frenemy, Dave.
I don't care.
But it's usually, you know, most like comic series films, whatever, is just like, so it's usually a guy called Eddie Brock, who's like a journalist, and it's someone not really connected to the Spider-Mans. But in this, it's literally one of their old pals. So that's kind of interesting. And I think there's like one cartoon or run of comics where they've done that. So that's sort of interesting. But yeah, no, other than that, it was a really nice show. Ian was great. It's really nice having him on.
Ian was great.
He kept a respectful silence when you were trying to talk about Life is Strange, Drew Collins, which I thought was very good of him, given how he felt about what he played for the first game. But it was really nice. Yeah, it's good.
It's funny because, you know, you go onto anyone's podcast, anyone else's podcast, you freak out about what, because it's an established listener base, it's an established show. It's, you know, any change to a show like this, like getting guests on, is always a worry. Mm. But, you know, Ian was worried about how listeners would react, but we've had non-stop positive feedback, as I'm sure we'll get to, Matt. Let's go through the feedback.
Let's go. Well, actually, we'll start with Colin Wilson, who is some man, by the way. Hello, everyone. Hope you're all well. I don't have a question or feedback, but a request. And I know when you hear my name, you're expecting something jokey or cheeky. You know, top tier banter. Not to, I mean, these are his words. I'm just going to what this email says. When this podcast goes out, it will be Kieran's birthday. So could you wish him all a happy birthday? I wouldn't normally request this because then you'll be doing birthday messages every week. But it's a very, he's a very nice man and a positive influence in the Discord and the TCGS community overall. And I think he deserves a nice shout out. Even though a quiet soul of a man.
Go full Nels then, Colin. Like, what the fuck? We're not doing that. Go full Nels. We'll wish him a happy birthday.
Quiet soul of a man that wouldn't like to be fussed over. I know he'd be very happy to hear this. You don't even need to read this out. You just have to say, Colin would like to wish Kieran a happy birthday.
No.
We wouldn't do
that. Go full Nels.
Whilst I'm being serious, I just want to let you know I love you guys and you always give us such joy and entertainment. A good save there at the end, Colin.
Nice. Very pulled good. Around.
I'm not sure it does.
Still owes us 40 that's quid. Theft. But yeah, that was good.
Yeah, that's theft, in my opinion. Yeah? Lock him up.
He did say appreciate y'all at the end.
That cheers me up always. That cheers me up always. Right.
Dan Gleeble's great show last week, initially. I wasn't sure about Ian Lee as a guest.
Matt.
What happened?
Dan Gleeble's.
Oh, it's happened again.
The one time he doesn't make the joke,
the one time I don't check,
he gets stumped by it. So what does Dan Gleebles say, Matt?
Daniel Gleebles says, great show.
He's pronounced Gleebles.
Initially, I wasn't sure about Ian Lee as a guest until 1 hour 31 minutes in when he gave his thoughts on Life is Strange. It was nice to finally hear someone on the show hate the game as much as I do. I know we can't all like the same games, but I'm surprised all four of you love the game as much as you do, and it was nice to hear someone with a real difference of opinion. Thanks for constantly putting out quality podcasts. Appreciate you all, Dan Gleebles. I don't listen to the socials either. It was better than when they were at the start. Well,
there you go.
Well, I disagree, and I'm the one that counts. And I'd say this. Could you imagine sitting there playing a game and thinking, I fucking hate this. I can't wait to hear the TCGS boys rip into it, playing the podcast. It's like, I really enjoyed it. What did you think? Yeah, I loved it. What did you think? I loved it. And he's going, well, there's one more left. Otherwise, I'm going to be furious. What did you think, Sean? I absolutely loved it. Fuck! No! That's all four of them. I can't believe this. Sorry, Dangly Balls, but there's going to be more Life is Strange chat later, so tune in.
Yeah. Keep
tuned in. Yeah.
Keep our dial locked. I think that's what they say. Tom Durbin, hi lads, loved the show last week. Ian was absolutely wonderful, and I wish him all the best of luck in his ongoing feud with Bigger Boy. I do, however, disagree with him when it comes to the proposition of the socials being moved from the end of the show. When I try out a new podcast, nothing puts me off more quickly than the host banging on about all the other stuff they're doing, when really I just want to know if the show is for me. And this is probably a bad one to... Okay. I think it's important for new listeners to get a sense of who you really are and what they can expect straight away, because chances are they won't yet care whether or not James is streaming another terrible game this Friday. Incidentally, I am looking forward to hearing what a doctor thinks of Dark Souls 2. It's my favourite of the series. Sorry, Matt, I know you're an advocate of the socials at the beginning approach, but please know that I've been a loyal listener right up until the end of the theme music, and I love hearing what you are up to, even though my time zone means I can't catch your streams. Thanks for everything, as always. PS to all the new listeners starting their TCGS journey with this episode, this podcast is the tits. PS, I'm really hoping to hear you guys talk about The Artful Escape, hands down my game of the year so far.
We will be talking about The Artful Escape a little bit later, so also keep tuned in. So, you know, another one. The two interesting opinions there. One valid, one less so. we've got one valid opinion and an alternative opinion by Dan Gleebles.
By Tom.
Okay. Go on. Next.
Maybe we'll just scrap the socials.
Matt, look. Yeah. Is that Matt? Is that you getting the ump?
No, I'm past it. Let's just stop doing them.
Doesn't sound.
I'm just waiting for one week. We're just going, right, Matt, you want to do the socials? And Matt just goes, bye.
ending. I was good.
Okay, James, so you could do the socials from now on, all right?
No, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, lovely.
He loves it when you do it anyway.
He loves doing it, yeah.
Oh, why don't you fucking pre-record it? That'd be funny, wouldn't it?
Do you know, I did actually think of doing that the other week when Matt wasn't on.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. Go on.
Okay, we'll move on. Chris, hi, lads. I recently platinumed Life is Strange Two Colors, and after hearing a discussion on episode 269, I figured I'd stick my two cents into the mix. While I would say the visuals and acting in True Colors are leaps and bounds over the first game, I personally didn't connect to Alex's story in the same way I did with Max and Chloe or the Diaz brothers, which isn't to say I disliked it. I really liked True Colors, but felt like I wanted to love it. I essentially boiled it down to there seeming to be a difference between how Dontnod and Deck Nine make their games. Dontnod's entries, 1 and 2, for those aren't as invested, felt more open and variable, like my choices carried more weight and had a bigger impact on the story than the choices in True Colors or Before the Storm did. However, the end of Before the Storm hit me almost as hard as my first run on The Last of Us Part 1. I'm going to give it a bit more time to process my opinion a bit more and let it settle before I go back for round 2. Thanks for living it. That's from Chris.
Nice. Okay. Well, we're going to save our opinions on Life is Strange True Colors, but interesting to hear yours.
Yeah, yeah. Senior Petula. I mean, that has to be a joke name somehow, but I'm going to just go over it. I would like to commend the TCGS crew for having the self-confidence and personal assuredness to invite on a guest like Ian Lee and thereby invite direct comparison between his soothing and deeply erotic baritone and their high-pitched and syncopated squawking. I mean...
What the fuck? Why have you suddenly become the high-pitched boys? Where's this come from?
Well, you do go a bit high-pitched sometimes, Dave.
Yeah, but so do you.
Yeah, well, yeah.
What do you want? No, don't. Yeah, you do.
No, don't.
When I get you really angry, when I get you really angry, you go... Sorry.
Also, I'm not sure Senor Petula knows what syncopated means. But
what does it mean? I don't know what it means.
I think it basically just means like things happening like off the beat rather than on it.
Oh, God, we're always off the beat, mate. Yeah, we're like jazz.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
it is us,
yeah. Yeah, jazz, it's actually back on there.
Like a cosmic gumbo.
Also, I'm pretty sure that was Ian Lee. So let's continue. it wasn't. But go on.
Nick Hanan, feedback. Ian was a fantastic guest. Please have one again. Also, with all the guests lately, I feel like we're due for an Adam Capone episode.
Oh, now it was funny. I spoke to Adam Capone in a week via stream because I streamed Lake on Saturday night, I think it was, and he was watching. And I said, "When are you coming back on the show? It's been a long time." And he replied, "I think about 18 to 16 months time feels about right." So,
okay.
Did I say 18? I meant eight to 16
okay.
months.
8 to 16,
reckons.
Okay.
So,
mark that in your calendars.
Yeah, so mark that in your calendars. Capone's coming back. Jesus, how are people going to react to him who's never heard him before? Because that's the one that always we get. The feedback we get is crazy after he makes an appearance. Okay.
I can't wait. And speaking of the great man, we've got a message from Capone Adam to end on. Really enjoyed last week's show, but I always cringe deep inside when listening to Ian Lee. Nothing to do with Ian himself. He's fantastic and really elevated last week's show. I cringe because of something horrific.
I cringe because
of something horrific I did on his radio show over a decade ago. I've only called into one of his radio shows once. I had this idea to call in and tell a Michael Jackson joke in the height of his legal battles.
Oh no!
Why did you do that?
The setup of the joke was about a child going on a roller coaster with Michael Jackson.
But what I thought at the time
was a genius, high-level Stuart Lee-esque routine. The punchline had absolutely nothing to do with Michael Jackson. There was no reason for him to be in the joke at all. I never got that far live on air. Obviously, I was cut off as soon as I mentioned Michael Jackson and a roller coaster within the same sentence. I don't think they were like, "Michael Jackson, keep him on. Roller coaster, cut. So I ended up sounding like someone who just called in to tell a rude and offensive Michael Jackson joke. Obviously, they made the right call. Live radio was just the absolute worst platform to attempt such a terrible routine, and I instantly felt incredibly shamed. Ian, if you're listening, I'm so sorry for putting you and everyone else through that. It felt good to get it off my chest after all this time. From Capone Adam.
I mean, I don't want to speak for him, but he's almost definitely, he doesn't remember that, so I wouldn't worry about it, Capone. But we've got to find that call. There's a vault, there's like a podcast feed with everything he's ever done. I'm pretty sure it's everything he did. Well, most stuff that he's done, it's almost definitely in there somewhere.
Yeah, all we've got
to
do is...
Capone, yeah. If you could give us any information, year, what radio station it was, he was on when you called him, you know, any information to try and find that call, we'll try and find it, because I'd love to hear that. Capone Adam appearing on that show. I never know you called Ian. That's crazy.
Yeah, James,
you've been such a massive fan of his radio show. Have you ever called in?
I've never had the guts to phone in. I just couldn't do it.
What do you mean the guts? Have you ever been close?
No, because I just feel too. I feel too nervous. Honestly, it's ridiculous, but I do. I just feel too nervous.
I used to feel really nervous because I used to ring in pretending to be Taylor Hanson from Hanson's.
I remember that, yeah.
I put on a silly voice and pretended to be Taylor Hanson, who sung the one about the umbop. And yeah, honestly, especially when you speak to the. I used to wait until it was straight to air stuff, because when it was, you bring up and speak to the producer, it was really embarrassing. Hello, would you want to talk about? Oh, I want to pretend to be Taylor Hanson, please.
I want to talk about the unbox.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I'm going to tell a joke about feedback? Michael Jackson, but wait. It's not actually about
Michael Jackson.
There's a great punchline about a roller coaster.
I should mention here as well that Capone Adam has started a new podcast with Graham Hunter. They're back again, and have you heard about this, Sean?
Is this the Philips Hue thing?
It's the Philips Hue official, not official. It's not okay. Official. He specifically said he doesn't want Philips Hue lighting involved in any way.
Okay.
But if you go and go to his Twitter, whatever, or go to mine, I've retweeted it. There's a link to it, because I found it really hard to find on Apple Podcasts. But yeah, his new podcast with Graham Hunter, solely focusing on the world of Philips Hue lighting, and they're only 9 minutes long, so cool. You don't even have to. Yeah, he's limiting it to 9 minutes, but definitely go and check out his new podcast. Is that
absolutely
it for the feedback?
Yeah, that is it. If you want to leave us feedback, go to tcgs.co/dear tcgs.
Right, before we get to the news, we've got a bit of an announcement to make, an exciting announcement for us. We've got a sponsor, TCGS. This episode is sponsored by Blue Yeti Microphones. Now, I know what you're thinking. Right, here comes an ad. Well, let me tell you something. When this sponsorship came in, it was all agreed. We were all very excited. There was a bit of an argument in the WhatsApp group about who should be doing the advert. You know, Matt's got a history in marketing, Sean had some ideas, James wanted to get involved, and there was a bit of an argument in who should take over when it comes to reading out what Blue Yeti Microphones want us to read out. Thankfully, they've sponsored us for 4 shows, which means in classic TCGS manner, we've turned it into a competition between the 4 of us. So once a week, over the next 4 shows, we will play you adverts we've created. And you, dear listener, get to vote on which is the best one. So this week, it's my go. Should we play it?
Yeah, let's do it.
Hey, are you thinking about starting a podcast? Are you thinking about starting a podcast? You need 2 things to start a podcast. You need some talent. You got that? Good. Now get yourself a microphone. Sure, you could go on Amazon and just pick any other piece of crap microphone you want, but that's not what you want. You need the world's number 1 USB microphone. You need a Blue Yeti. The sound is clear. You're gonna sound fantastic. Trust me, you wanna get a Blue Yeti. It doesn't even matter what type of computer you got. You got the Windows on there, you got the Apple Mac, whatever. The Blue Yeti works with both of them. It's got a unique design. You can put it on a little stand. You got the connections there if you want to put it on a boom arm. Don't know what a boom arm is? Google it. But it's not just for podcasting. You could use it for Zoom calls. You can record music on that thing. Podcast. You got your Twitch channel? You could use it on your Twitch channel, sure. You want to be a YouTuber? Get yourself a Blue Yeti microphone. What are you waiting for? Podcast? I gotta say this. The Yeti's tri-capsule technology condenser microphones produce pristine, studio-quality recordings with legendary ease. Podcasts! If you're sitting there thinking, I can't afford this, this microphone sounds too good, microphones are expensive, they're too expensive for me, just the average person. Stop right there, because we got a deal for you. We got a super deal for you. Now listen up, head over to bluemic.com, that's BLUEMIC.com, and a Yeti Pod 15, that's Yeti Pod 15, enter the promo codes and get 15% off your Blue microphone. So what are you waiting for? Go or with the bluemic.com, put in the Yeti 15 promotion code and start recording your voice, because my God, the world's gotta hear it. You deserve it. You know you deserve it. Now get out there and take the internet by storm.
And that's strong, right? Beat that.
I started towards the very end, the voice started making me feel a little bit sick.
Yeah. Well, I'll let the voiceover actor know that you think that about him. It's a bit rude. He might be listening.
Where was he from? Just out of curiosity.
Yeah, I'm fascinated.
America.
Just all over the place.
Oh yeah,
really? Travels
from
a lot.
The US of A. Yeah?
Not Birmingham then.
But that didn't be close to Birmingham. All right, okay. So we're going to try and pretend that was a bad advert, are we?
He's trying to knock away your confidence.
Is this like on, what is it, Come Dine With Me, where they go, oh, no, this is a bit, oh, no, it's like the best meal they've ever eaten, and they're going, oh, no, a bit dry, this chicken, isn't it? A bit dry, everyone? I give it a 2, yeah, the chicken was a bit dry.
Yeah, James, Sean, and I are all in a cab now, holding up a 2.
While crying. Well, listen, the jokes aside, that is a legitimate code. If you go to bluemic.com and enter the code YetiPod15, you get 15% off the best microphone, USB microphone out there. There's the one I use, the Blue Yeti.
Well,
I can't recommend it enough.
This is it. You know, we're advertising the microphone that certainly at least Dave and I have used for literally about 10 years. So it was kind of an easy decision, really.
Yeah, it's kind of an easy sell. Yeah, because we have had other approaches and stuff for sponsorships, and it was like, well, we don't really want to do those ones.
I already shaved my balls, thanks. Oh, yeah. Don't need any extra kit for
Shut
that.
Shut up! Thank you so much for supporting the show, Blue Yeti Mics. And next week, who's going? Whose turn
shall
is
I,
it?
Shall I go?
Well, is Sean stepping
up? I know Matt's busy
at the
moment.
Yesterday trying to work on one, and I've had so many ideas.
5 hours?
I've had this is a great idea. I do, oh no, it sounds shit, but is it supposed to sound like shit? Oh, it's not done. It sounds shit enough to that.
Matt, this might surprise you. That took me about 10 minutes. I don't know. That might come as a bit of a surprise to you.
I thought I would get mine done in 10 minutes. And then I'm like, oh, no, that's not quite... No, it's not so, yeah. I had an absolute nightmare.
Matt's is going to be way too overproduced.
Mine's
going to
be terrible.
Well, let's see. The listeners will get to decide who does the best advert by the end of it. Right, let's get on to the news. James Farley, News Goblin, what you got for us?
Okay, so Sir Clive Sinclair has died at the age of 81. So, obviously, he was best known as the inventor of the ZX Spectrum in 1982, but he has now died. So that's
sad. Yeah, it's a sad one, this, obviously. But I'd never had that connection because I wasn't a Spectrum guy, and I wasn't... That sounds a bit rough. Like, what I mean
Didn't
is that,
like
I,
his
that
stupid
wasn't
computer.
Part...
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. Yeah,
it wasn't part of my youth, you know what I mean? Yeah. So, but I imagine people... there's definitely, you know, the connection there. He's the sort of person that introduced people to video gaming and set them on a path of playing video games for the rest of their life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's, you know, respect, and it is very sad. And I did have my initial thought. This is bad. You shouldn't really talk like this, but my initial thought was, oh no, this is going to start happening quite regularly now, isn't it?
I know what you
mean.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. No, totally.
Because people are getting to that age now,
yeah,
and it's really awful. Mm.
Yeah.
James, have you got anything to say? Did you know much? You're way more into this sort of era of gaming, aren't you?
See, it's true, but I never owned a ZX Spectrum either. I mean, I had a BBC at this time, so I was not really massively into the Spectrum. Most of my friends had C64, so I never really played on Spectrums that much. But I mean, Sean, didn't you have one?
I was a C64 kid as well.
Okay.
Yeah, but actually, same here. So we've all actually gone against. Wishes by not actually owning.
Yeah, sorry, Clive. But no, honestly, it's terribly sad. And if any of our listeners were affected by it, then I feel for you, man. Because it's when someone has such an impact in your life, even if it's like indirectly in ways like this, then yeah, man, that can affect you. So I hope you're doing all right. I guess it's the right thing to say. I know it sounds stupid, but it's a real thing.
Yeah. Definitely.
And I think because it being like a UK system as well, I think it was like a real sort of identity thing for a lot of people that we know.
I mean, also there's lots and lots of like really good like YouTube channels as well that have like gone through. Like I've learned a lot about the ZX Spectrum from mostly watching people on YouTube like talking about stuff that I never owned, and it's a fascinating story. Like it's really good, particularly like Kim Justice. Her stuff is very, very good. On all this. Yeah, I recommend it.
Well, I suppose that's it, isn't it? No better way to honour his life than if you don't know about it, then look into it, watch YouTube videos about his life, what he did, and. Read books and stuff. But yeah, I think that's because it's such an important part of our history in terms of gaming.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just like looking at the news story, the fact that it sold 5 million systems like back then.
Yeah,
that's back incredible. Then, and because it was super cheap as well, wasn't it? Like, well, relatively speaking, it was. And like you say, it's just it got that many people into gaming because it made it accessible, which is, you know, a huge deal, especially so early on. So yeah. Cheers, Clive.
Okay, we had some other news this week, which was kind of interesting, which is that Nintendo have finally added Bluetooth audio support to the Switch. I mean, this was weird, right?
Yeah.
Because it's system update version 13, and this is one of those things where if you ever go on any internet forums, people always swore blind that it was impossible and there was no way that Nintendo could do this.
Mm-hmm.
But now they have, obviously. And, I mean, there's a couple of limitations to it. So if you do this, you can only have up to two wireless controllers paired at the same time while you're using Bluetooth audio. And also,
when was the last time you had more than two?
I was going to say.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
And then also headsets will be...
You're telling me I can't use my Bluetooth headphones while playing four-player Mario Kart with my friends in my room?
No, you can't. Sadly, you can't. Sure. Yeah.
Well, can we listen to the game?
No,
I've got my Bluetooth headphones in.
And two of you can't play either, sorry.
Yeah, so in fact, actually, you could just go.
Well, they could always hook up with a USB controller as well, and then you could just still use your Bluetooth. You'd be great. It works fine.
Okay.
But anyway, but then also, apparently, it says headphones will be disconnected during local communication, such as when you're starting a wireless multiplayer game. So you can't do that either. So if you're playing like, you know, stuff, it won't.
I was going to say again, whoever does. Don't get me wrong, I'm not like knocking the fact that it has that functionality, but. I've never used it, so...
No, but, like, I maybe this is the answer. Maybe they were just worried by how much of that console relies on Bluetooth technology, and adding headphones in could have seriously damaged it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it could... You know, if controllers started... Like, if they announced straight from the start that Bluetooth headphones were compatible, but they were interrupting connection between controller and the console, you'd... Have the ump, right? Everyone would have the ump with that.
Yeah, and yeah, I guess it's just reached a point where they've just sort of gone, well, actually, we now know how many people are using this functionality, and probably no one's going to be too upset if, as long as we're clear about what they can and can't do. It's just fascinating, isn't it? Because obviously, you know, like James, you were saying, like people have been swearing blind that it literally can't be done. And to be fair, given how many years it's been since the Switch came out, you would obviously, we would all think, well, surely if it was possible, they'd have done it by now. And here we are.
Look, if I'm totally honest, though, Sean, if I'm in that boardroom and someone comes in like 5 years later and goes, oh, you know the Bluetooth headphone thing? Yeah, we can do it. I'd go, let's not, though. Let's just tell them, let's just keep that to ourselves.
Yeah.
Put that
it.
Little, yeah. delete that we'll email, that. Just, let's get rid of that. Yeah. And forget that anyone ever mentioned it, because it did make them look a bit silly, didn't
it? Because they're sort of sitting there thinking, well, we did last week say again that it can't be done, so let's just not mention it for like a few years, and then it'll look like it's just this amazing breakthrough that we've been working on.
It was, and it's what is it like when Major Nelson come out and he said, well, the Xbox One, you can't just take the Kinect out, it's essential. And then like the day after they announced, actually you can buy it without the Kinect now. She was like, ah, okay, okay. yeah, no, it's just a bit embarrassing. I would have kept that quiet if I was Nintendo, to be honest.
Well, I mean,
it's good they've finally, they're fine. Has anyone actually tried using Bluetooth headphones yet with a Switch?
I have used it, and it does work, although there is perceptible lag, I would say
latency. Yeah. Issues.
I suppose, if the chipset was never designed to do low latency audio, because like a lot of, I don't know if, I think Macs are generally okay, but like a lot of Windows, like laptops and PCs I've used, like trying to use Bluetooth headphones with them is just a nightmare, because most Bluetooth receivers just aren't built for it. You know, like little USB dongles or whatever, that is not really fussed about doing like high quality
audio. Your soundpiece's not hitting the mark then, no?
Oh. No, I've gone off in-ear ones again for some reason. I had an enjoyable phase with the Soundpeats, and I was like, do you know what, these are great, and now I'm just like, I hate sticking shit in my ears again for some reason. Don't know.
All right.
Don't know.
Okay, so you're going to be one of those people walking around with a big set of cans around the factory and shit.
No, I'm a COS Porter Pro man now, Dave.
What's that?
Do you want to get into it? It's an incredibly cheap pair of headphones that was designed in like the 1970s and has not changed since.
Are they the ones with the foam on it with the sort of metal band that went over the top?
Yeah, yeah.
Is it that?
Yeah.
With the foam around the thing that sort of just dug into the little ridge in your ears and hurt?
No,
after
they
5 minutes
honestly,
of having them
they're
on.
Literally, they're about 30 quid and they are the nicest, most comfortable headphones I've ever used. They're actually
okay.
Incredible.
All right. We've heard that before, haven't we? About the Soundpeats, Matt.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? Do you remember that?
It's still true about the Soundpiece. I've just gone off in
Ear. Hold on.
Go on.
Are they plug in? Are they wired?
Yeah, that's the only thing. So there is a wireless one, but it's got
I don't think that is the only thing, though, because I kind of miss that.
Do you?
Like, I kind of miss the wired stuff. Yeah.
It's weird how,
Not worrying about how fucking charged they are. That is the most irritating thing about modern day headphones.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just so annoying.
And switching between devices, like if you a lot of headphones you can only pair with like one or two devices. It's just got a fucking cable. Just plug it in to the thing.
Yeah, but these days that doesn't happen either, does it? Because it's like, right, I can unplug it from my Switch and plug it into my foot. Oh, for fuck's sake. Stop being so courageous, Apple. You've ruined my mobile phones. Yeah, no, it's a bit of a ball ache, but there you go. So you're plugging it into your, what, you just whack it straight into your Xbox pad now and stuff?
Yeah, man. It's proper good.
Nice. Nice. Okay. That's enough on headphones.
Yes.
Also, well, no, there's also another thing that Nintendo wanted to make very clear, and that the Bluetooth microphone cannot be used with the Switch.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
It must just be that compatibility issue. They haven't put enough effort into it. It's really annoying.
Yeah, because most like Bluetooth headphones will only do sending and receiving audio when they're in like phone call mode, so it would sound like shit.
Shit! That must have been what my last car, my Peugeot 3008, right? Yeah. It would do Bluetooth, but only for calls. You couldn't play music over Bluetooth thing. Yeah, it was ridiculous. It had like a 40 gig hard drive built into the sort of somewhere in the car, and you could upload like
Bluetooth.
MP3s
load
to
up
it,
all your MP3s straight off line wire. Straight onto
shows how old that car was when we got it, because it was like. But yeah, I was absolutely gutted with that. I was just like, well, you hit play and it just doesn't work. But if someone calls you, it plays it through the annoying.
Amazing.
Bluetooth's weird, man.
It is.
Go on.
Okay.
But wait, do you remember when Bluetooth first came about and it was literally just sending videos and pictures
to
each other?
To people and
that
stuff.
Was it.
Yeah. Because yeah, I used to
horrible
like,
images
and,
to each
and
other.
And contact information. You know,
yeah.
True. Those V cards.
Because loads of people just had their phones like open to receive files and stuff, didn't they?
That's right.
Which is incredible.
That's right.
People still do. Do they still do?
Wow. Because I remember like I go to gigs and stuff and I just send them like GIFs of like computer games or whatever and just, I don't know, just a bit of fun.
Okay. That's all right. That's how Sean did things. I used to listen to music at places like that.
I'm talking about, you know, in between, you know, rocking out.
In between tracks. All of a sudden, they're playing a song and then their phone buzzes. Hold on, everyone.
Yeah.
Oh, it's
Majora's Mask.
It's the guy from Flashback running forwards. But yeah, you know, in between songs, or if, you know, you arrive a bit late on purpose and then you're like, the support's still on, fuck's sake.
It's time to send a gift.
You'd always have one, you'd always have people changing their Bluetooth names to horrible things. You know, you look at it and you just go, oh yeah, you told me, mate. Fucking hell. Alright, cool.
There's a new Wipeout game coming, and this is sick. Exactly. I mean, people were well excited about it. It's called Wipeout Rush. It's a new game in the series.
Cool. Yeah.
Coming to iPhone and Android in early 2022.
All right, no, it could still be good. We could Bluetooth our things. That sounds fine.
I mean,
I assume there's no other bad news, James.
I mean, they're describing it as a unique card-based racing game. So,
is there any crafting in it?
there's no crafting as far as I'm aware, but I'm sure that they'll be customising for points and things like that you have to pay for. Yeah. But I mean, do you want to hear
you remember your little fantasy zone last week when you said that someone had leaked onto Reddit that there was an announcement for a return to a long-awaited series, but they were also told to not leak anything, not leak everything? Was it that they were told that Wipeout was coming out, but to not leak the fact that it was a mobile card-based game?
Probably.
Is that how it went down?
Just leak the good bits. Don't leak the shit bits.
Yeah, go on. Come on, James. What's the quote?
So this is the quote. This is from the developer called Rogue Games. They said, if I want that visceral, immersive, intense racing experience, I find it waiting on PlayStation. But at the same time, we're delighted that we could rethink Wipeout for mobile with some fun new play mechanics and gorgeous visuals. We hope fans will come to it with an open mind, because, although different, we're proud to bring the Wipeout franchise back into focus with a fresh take on the formula.
I just... Because, you know, so when we watched the PlayStation thing, I was sort of thinking, maybe we'll see a new Wipeout, that would be really cool. I know Wipeout isn't a system seller, right? I'm not saying, Sony are idiots, why aren't they doing a new one for the PS5? I know it's not a system seller, but I do feel like it's one of those franchises that is very much part of the PlayStation identity, and I think it would be I still think it'd be very cool to see a PS5 Wipeout. Whereas and it's not just like, you know, like Dave said, okay, it's on phones. That doesn't, like, there's plenty of good racing games for phones, right? You know, tilt controls and stuff. Like, people have pretty much nailed that stuff for years now. There's no specific reason why this would have to be bad. And then, and then it turns out you don't even really control the ships, as far as I can tell.
You just lay cards down. Look,
and again, it might be a good, it might be a good card game, maybe. How could they not know this would go down? You know?
Well, they knew. Of course they knew. Look, all I'll say is this. This is not in place of a regular Wipeout game.
No way.
They either don't want to create a Wipeout game, or they're doing it, but they're not ready to show it, or whatever. They're not testing anything, Matt. What are you talking about?
Well, no, they're saying, let's announce, we announce this, we'll get us out there, but it's also a good indication of how hungry people are for a new Wipeout game.
No, it's not. It's not a good indication at all. How is that a good indication?
Because if everyone's like, Asha, I love a bloody proper Wipeout game.
Right, yeah. I mean, when you say everyone, do you mean people that just moan on Twitter? Because I don't think that's a good indication on how many copies of Wipeout they sell at all. I mean,
it'll annoy people, if anything.
I think this isn't in place. They're trying to make money in different ways. You know, everyone is And they probably had a card game set to go, or they were working on a card game and thought, let's tie it to one of the well-known Sony franchise. Boom, there you go. That's how you push these things, isn't it? You never know. It might be good. I'm not going to play it. I've got no interest in card games, but whatever. I just think people going, no, do a real one. I'm pretty sure they're either doing a real one or they've decided that they're absolutely not doing a real one, which is quite a wild prediction for me there, isn't it?
I was going to say.
They're either working on one or they're not.
Thought I was the fan.
Yes, wow. Guys?
But yeah, and especially obviously this coming, you know, shortly after the news that Sony have bought Firesprite, who is, you know, mainly consists of ex-Sony Liverpool / Psygnosis staff who made Wipeout, which is why I was sort of hoping we'd see one at that conference the other week. So it's just, yeah, like people sort of thought that we were maybe getting a new proper Wipeout and then we got this instead.
Okay, and, yeah. Okay, I've got a question for you, Sean. Mm-hmm. They announced a new Wipeout. Mm. It's available on PS4 and PS5. Mm. It looks incredible, right? Yeah. It's free on PS Plus for PS5 only and £50 for the PS4. Do you buy it?
It would be reason number one for me to start looking at getting a PS5, for sure. It would be on the list of reasons.
Really?
Yeah, God, yeah.
Okay. Okay. So you'd see that as £50 off a PS5, would you?
Yeah. Which, I mean, it, okay. I mean that's Matt Murray finances, but yeah.
It totally is,
It's the best way to work it out.
Get one of Matt's spreadsheets put together. Okay, so there's a new Wipeout card game. We'll probably talk that today.
Imagine if it comes out and I fucking love it. It might happen. It might happen.
Yeah, there's every chance.
What do you mean?
I just mean.
What do you mean? Imagine it's not that wild, like fantasy, is it? Imagine if a card game came out and Sean liked it.
Whoa!
Imagine if they released a new Titanfall game and David really enjoyed it. Imagine that, guys.
No, just obviously I'm quite down on this, but yeah, imagine if I was like, no, don't make another proper Wipeout. Wipeout's a card game now. Fucking
do you mean this could be your Fire Emblem Heroes?
Yes, it's going to get me.
Guys,
back into the series.
I'm leaving the show because I don't want to play it. There's no point in me playing anything else. Yeah. And also, Game of the Year nominations. I've only got one game to nominate, and it's the Wipeout card game.
I don't even want the rest of my nominations.
Sean, this is a perfect time to start a YouTube channel about rumours about it, maybe start a weekly podcast.
Oh my God, should I do a Wipeout Watch weekly?
So this week, we're dissecting the trailer for the first 10 seconds. We're getting someone who played the game previously on next week. I mean,
should I start doing a weekly video series? Discord. On our channel, which is just, right, here's the latest news on the new Wipeout game for mobile. There's been no news this week. I've been looking over the trailer again for any new details. Haven't spotted any. But still,
you know. It's like a screenshot. You can see there's fire in the background here. It's unclear whether this affects gameplay.
Doesn't mean there's a fire track. Does also mean there's an ice track.
And will the ice track be all slippy slidey? We know, we don't know, but it's interesting, isn't it?
I've made my own cards. Here's one. This means that you go faster. Here's another one.
This changes the track.
You've
got any ideas for cards that
you
think might be in the game, send them in. We'll feature them on the show. Oh,
come on, do that. At least I might actually do this.
Oh, can you use me coloured lights to make it look all cybery?
Oh, yeah. Put tinfoil just around, like, just make a costume out of tinfoil and say, I'm ready to wipe out. Are you? Do it.
I'm thinking green screen a cockpit in.
Oh my God, yeah, and I'm sitting there like shaking around going, oh, someone just hit me with a laser.
You've also got to wear like a green hat or something so it just clips through.
And then it's like, with other questions, you put your hand out, and I was like, oh, I just caught a question. Here we go. Question from Tim Smith.
Okay, right, this is happening. Yeah. This is happening. Look out for Sean's new video series. What are you going to call it? This won't be the title, but James, what would you call it?
I don't know, Sean's Wipeout. I don't know.
He never fails. gone. All right, okay. Sean's wipe out. Why is that so funny?
What's the full title of it? It's got a subtitle, hasn't it? It's Wipeout.
It's Wipeout Rush. Yeah.
Wipeout Rush.
Just Sean's Wipeout. It's just perfect. It's just so basic as shit. Right, okay. Go on.
David and everyone else, would you like to know what Yuji Naka has been up to?
Always. Oh, just raking the money in from his bullshit game, is it?
Yeah. Well, I don't think he is. I mean, obviously, he...
Oh, right, okay.
Because it was awful. So he's left Square.
That's what we were getting at. You didn't need to just... Okay, right,
Make it clear that I didn't like that game.
Because it was a bad game, guys. Anyway, on with the news.
Anyway, it was his birthday, and so he wrote a birthday message. He said, thank you for your birthday message. Recently, I've been studying programs again, and I'm making a simple game for smartphones with Unity. It's not a big deal because it's made by one person, but programming for making games is fun. I hope you can play the app. So, yeah, he's
That's
really...
It's not his first language, and he speaks it better than me. But at the same time, that stuff always makes me laugh. So, what has he announced? The game, is it out?
No, there's nothing at all. It's just that he's doing something. I mean, I'm hoping it's a Balan spin-off.
He's teaching himself how to program. It's not out yet. He's still learning. He's still getting.
What
a
fall from grace! Like, honestly,
I mean, he's teaching himself Unity.
But also, it is quite cool that, like, you know, like a guy's been making games for so long, he's got, you know, all the way up to, you know, being a, you know, producer, project lead, whatever, and then he's just gone, well, fuck it, I'm just going to learn how to code again and do it myself. I think that's quite nice.
Okay, well, let's... Okay,
I'm not saying the game will be any good. I'm not saying it'd be any good. I think that's quite cool. Because, you know,
but he was a big part of a game that tried to play off nostalgia that was clearly... underbaked and not worth the asking price. Still, you can't overlook that as a bit of a piss take, right?
Yeah.
And had gave people epileptic fits. You know, that's not a joke. That game was genuinely dangerous when it launched. Yep. So, I don't know if I'm so willing to overlook those little choices that he's made there to go, oh, he's all right, really, and then ruffle his hair. Yeah, strange.
I'd love to watch some sort of video about the making of that game. Yeah, there must be some story behind it because it's absolutely
fascinating.
This
is a Netflix documentary, isn't it?
Get no clip over there. Were you there when he was watching his podcast, James?
No, I didn't know. I wasn't there for that.
I was there, yeah.
That was weird. Capone Adam was there, right?
Coming what he was playing. I've still got a picture of him playing on his phone.
Yeah, he was doing some coding. That was the start of it. Okay, is that it for the news?
It's it for the news, but I have got some rumours.
Oh my god.
Yes!
The jingle. Now, I know Ian's sitting there saying to himself, they're not playing a jingle. I know that's what went through his mind during that bit. Right, go on.
I mean, the worst thing about this is everyone knows all these, because I usually like to pull these out as surprises, but this is all just being heavily trailed already.
Everyone knows Zone.
Yeah. I messaged James, or was it Thursday or Friday, saying, James, this will be amazing. It's like, okay, no one mentioned it, it'll be fine. Obviously, everyone's talking about the some of the rumours. I mean, not like me seeing a room on Twitter was like, yeah, we'll keep it secret, just me and you.
Yeah.
Everyone else found out.
But anyway, this is the rumour. Apparently, David Cage has signed a deal with Disney and he's going to be working on a Star Wars game. And, yeah.
Did you see my tweet just before we came on air?
I did, yeah.
Came on air before we hit record, we went 3, 2, 1, Matt. If this is true, and it works out, and David Cage is working on a Star Wars game, right? James and I are playing it, and we're going to do a one-off special Star Wars episode on it. 100%.
I think. I mean, this could potentially be a series, Dave. If you think about what content there could be there, yeah.
What do you mean? What does that mean? What content could be there?
You could do multiple episodes. I think of this, like, because it's David Cage game. There's going to be a lot of layers there.
All right.
We'll check it out. I mean, it does make me laugh how many people took to Twitter to go, "Ah, David Cage writing a Star Wars game. Oh, this is going to be terrible." And I just want to go, do you know, I'm not his biggest fan, but I bet he does better than Attack of the Clones, right? Like, it's not like the first shitly written.
I really don't know. They're about the same level. Seriously.
They're not.
They are, Dave. I've played all of his games, and they're about the same level as Attack of the Clones. They're not. There's not much difference.
James, they're rough. They're rough games, right? I hated Beyond Two Souls. I hated Detroit Become Human, right? Heavy Rain was okay. I'm sorry, but even then, Attack of the Clones, James.
I know, it's a terrible film, but then...
The sad stuff.
These are... That's true. That's true, but then there's just as bad lines in David Cage games. Like, seriously.
But that was insane.
Yeah.
And then even Phantom Menace, man, Jesus. I don't know. I mean, I'm excited.
I think this is going to be incredible.
I'll be well out for playing it. It'll be well.
I mean,
funny.
Do you know what? Like, I despise David Cage, but if he's not writing it, like, if it's all, you know, Quantic Dream's sort of technical nous, but it's someone at Disney writing it or something, you know, Lucasfilm, whatever.
I'm sorry. Sean. Do you think Quantic Dream? Are going to get the license to Star Wars and David Cage isn't going to want to write it.
There's no way. He's going to want to, but it might just not be part of the deal.
Sean, he's an auteur. There's no way that he's not going to.
He wouldn't accept it then. He wouldn't accept the deal. If he's not writing it, he wouldn't accept the deal. You know it.
He'd be like, I'm writing this, I'm directing it, I'm starring in it. He's going to be doing everything.
I can't wait until he makes the point that the Empire... is fascist. Obvious he makes that.
Yeah. And he's going to think he thought of it.
There's a lot of hidden subtext within this story. You really have to look into layers.
I don't think this is true.
I think it is true. I think it is true, and I just absolutely cannot wait for this. I think it's going to be incredible.
I mean, if it isn't true, fair play to the person who made it up, because that is some incredible piss-boiling...
Yeah, it's high level thought, isn't it? The higher level thought went into that.
If you're EA and you're like, man, we fucked up so bad that they've given it to Quantic Dream.
To David Cage.
We have really, really messed this thing up, haven't we?
But you've also got to wonder if it's true. Like, what are Disney thinking? Like, seriously? Well, have they not seen any
better stuff? Do you know what I hope? I hope it comes out and it's the best Star Wars bit of media you've ever seen, James. It would infuriate you.
No, I'd love that. It would be great. If it's a good game, that's great. But it won't be. There's no way it can be.
There's no way it can be.
But didn't you say at a time Detroit was a good game?
I said it was a average game.
I don't think you use those words.
I mean, it was my game of the year, famously. I mean, I put it on my list.
Yeah. He's a big fan of Detroit.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what happens here. I mean, I have enjoyed his games. And at seeing, you know, how, you know, the choices and characters dying and living and all sorts of stuff based on how you play a scene in Star Wars universe could be super interesting. But
he does dialogue like George Lucas. So it's, you know...
We've already gone over that, right? Okay, so are we done with Farley's Fantasy Zone?
I've got another one as well. This is another one that got
it's
everyone
like a little cheeky. It's like an after eight meat after a succulent Chinese meal.
I haven't had an after eight for years. I should sort that out.
Oh man, they're still beautiful.
Yeah, right? They're still good.
I smashed a box at Christmas.
It was always it was always a thing when we used to visit my nan. It was always a pack of after eights after dinner, and I used to eat half the pack.
Can
I ask a question about that, though?
Yes. You go, when someone comes up with matchsticks, get that away from me. Where are the after eights?
Not just that, but do people put... You know, like, the wrappers they come in?
Yeah.
Do people put them back in the box? Because it's really annoying when people do that.
Because
you think that there's still some there, and there's not.
No.
It's irritating.
No, I fold them up and put them inside. Oh, I'm weird. I use one as, like, a tiny little dustbin.
That's cool. I
fill it up with all the other.
What, you told all the others like that? They all fit into that one after eight packet.
Advanced.
Yeah. I could get loads in there.
I like that.
Yeah.
Got a lot of time for that.
There's a trick
quite,
to it.
Quite the adventure, isn't it, at a Turner's Christmas?
It is, Christmas Day. It's a tradition.
I mean, I only ever eat them at Christmas, so but I assume I obviously do well enough to survive throughout the year. I mean, who actually eats after eight not at Christmas time? You'll be a maniac.
I must admit, yeah, it is, tends to be just at Christmas time. Is there a crime in that, Matt?
I was in Morrison's today, and I'm never this person, right? But they've started selling mince pies already.
Oh, James, take it away.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
No, take it away, James. Hit it.
No, I'm not doing that.
It's
not Christmas yet. It's not Christmas yet.
Mince pies.
I mean, it's almost October.
Bring on. Some more mince pies. Did we all sing this at school? Right, okay, is that it?
No, I didn't even get to the
news. Oh, no, we didn't do it, did we? We were talking about after. Sorry, I forgot about that. Go on.
So anyway, there's a YouTuber called, I think it's Skullsy, who's claiming that he's...
He's a football player.
Is he? Oh, yeah. Not anymore. But yeah. But anyway,
Dave.
He's claiming that he's heard rumours about a crazy Microsoft acquisition that will have internet lawyers debating monopoly laws. And this is not just him, though. This is also like Tom Warren from The Verge and some other people have also been like speculating openly about it. And they're saying basically Microsoft are going to buy somebody and it's going to be like another like Bethesda
Sony,
kind
is
of
it?
Thing.
They're buying Sony, aren't they? That's the only thing that would make it Monopoly, wouldn't it?
Yeah, surely.
Well, no, they buy someone like Ubisoft or Activision Blizzard. I mean, some of the massive ones.
I mean,
then
the rumors are Take-Two was one of them, EA and Ubisoft. They're the three.
That? If fucking Microsoft owned GTA,
I could see that happening.
I don't know who owns what. So, Take-Two are a publisher.
Yeah.
Are they?
Yeah, they own GTA.
Aren't they?
They don't own GTA though, do they?
I think they.
Well, they don't. No, I don't know. Actually, that's a good point. Because Rockstar own it, don't they? But then, are they like?
I have no idea.
Parent company of.
Someone will know. Because someone else, listening will know, and they'll put us
someone
right.
Else owns Take Two, don't they? I can't remember who though.
Either way, it's.
Now that's podcasting.
Yeah. It certainly is. I don't know. Take-Two would be amazing if they actually got GTA, but it would be that's, you know, the whole talk of a monopoly or whatever, there is part of me that kind of thinks, oh, I don't take the piss, because say...
Yeah, okay, I've just done some scenario. Googling. I've done some Googling, right? Take-Two Interactive own publishing labels, but also Rockstar Games and 2K.
Right.
So
they own Rockstar... The developer.
Yeah.
Rockstar
yeah.
Games and 2K, yeah. So they would own IP like Bioshock, Borderlands, GTA.
Holy shit.
Civilization.
Holy NBA. Shit, I can imagine.
Civilization.
Actually, yeah. I genuinely do think that would be
Max
mad.
Payne.
Like, taking GTA away, and maybe it's one of those scenarios where they wouldn't make it exclusive, but the fact that they own it, is that a good idea? I don't know, man.
I'm not sure it's great like just a couple of companies owning everything. It just doesn't feel good. Like, you know, in terms of like competition and that kind of thing, but you know,
it doesn't, does it? I'm kind of.
I also
that.
Think they would make things exclusive, given how they've discussed other things.
Go on.
You know, well, no, that was it. I think they probably would make GTA exclusive.
Oh, definitely,
too,
they would. There's no way they wouldn't. Yeah. Why would they?
Yeah,
like, with
especially
Bethesda
given
stuff, you know
the Bethesda stuff. Yeah,
money, innit? You could sell GTA for 70 quid a pop on PlayStation. Why
yeah,
not?
But they could have done the same with any
exactly,
Bethesda
yeah.
title,
which
Starfield,
do, yeah.
with the next Elder Scrolls, but that's been exclusive.
We'll see. I don't know. It's a weird one.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, I think, whether this rumor is true or not, I mean, Microsoft buying someone else massive, yeah, I think it probably will happen. I mean, it's very
what's
easy
missing
to say.
From their portfolio, though, at this point?
Well,
I would suggest
they're missing
games.
Like, well, no, they're missing
missing games.
No,
aren't
but
they?
In terms
no,
of like genres games. or
oh right, oh okay,
they're missing big like open world adventures and stuff. So that would mean like Ubisoft would make sense in that case because then you've got stuff like
yeah,
you know,
I guess.
Assassin's Creed.
I mean, I would say
they're missing sports games.
Yeah, EA as well would
yeah,
would
I suppose,
be a thing.
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about Take-Two. They own the 2K series, right?
Oh yeah.
But Microsoft are missing big single player adventures. That's what I think they're missing.
But then they've got, you know, they've got Obsidian, they've got Playground making new Fable. Like, there's stuff in the works on you know, along those lines.
Yeah, they're going to be covered for single player experiences, aren't they? Yeah. They, you know, they just released Psychonauts 2. Mm-hmm.
But it's also, the point of this is probably to deny, like, the competition this stuff as well, though. It's not just what have we got, it's what can we stop the other people having.
Yeah, and that's what Sony are doing too.
Okay. Is that it for Farley's Fantasy Zone?
That is it, yeah. We're done.
Let's get on to the games we've been playing. Now, we've got three games to talk about on today's show. Life is Strange, True Colors, The Artful Escape, and Deathloop. I think the one to start with is Deathloop, because that's been the big release since the last episode, and the buzz around it's been massive. You've not played it, Sean.
I've played it like an hour, not enough to put it. I mean, yeah, because obviously I got back from holiday on like Saturday, so I've played a bit of it, but not
on PC.
Yeah, but not enough to talk about it really.
I mean, Sean, you've played more than I've played in that case.
Oh, James.
Yeah.
Matt, how much have you played?
I mean, probably about 3 or 4 hours.
Okay.
All right, will you take the lead on this?
But not loads, because I was busy getting the others, Life is Strange and Artful Escape, finished. Because I didn't want to have. I'd always started Artful before the last week's show, and then I played a little bit, but then stopped to get Life is Strange done. I didn't want to have three games on my plate.
It's horrible, isn't it? Because this is the thing with like Psychonauts as well. Like, I want to go back to that, but it now feels I should probably play Deathloop instead. And it's
okay. Yeah. All right. Well, let's get on to Deathloop. What have you made of it, Matt?
So yeah, I'm only 3 to 4 hours in, and it feels like I barely scratched the surface. I don't know how.
Is it
long
a long
is...
game then? Well, Cole, I am high-pitched, aren't I?
I've tried to look into as little as possible about this game. I've seen the trailers, right, and it was going to be good, and that was it. But I assume it's a massive game. I also haven't played the Dishonored game, so I can't really compare against them. I've only played 4-5 hours of Prey. I enjoyed, didn't go back to it. I assumed it was a big game. But anyway,
Had a look on how long to beat. It's about 15 hours apparently.
Okay, so it's not too long.
Is that it? Okay.
But then, completionist is 27. So there's loads of extra stuff to dive into.
Okay, look. That's how long it is. I'm so eager to find out what Matt thinks of it.
Yeah. So the game, from what I have played so far, I absolutely love. I've basically got zero complaints for these first initial 3 or 4 hours. I absolutely love the writing. I love how it sounds. I absolutely love visually how it looks, not just, you know, graphically, but like the actual style, the aesthetic of like the location. It very much feels like that kind of, like, was it 60s, but kind of futuristic as well. I mean, there's a lot. It felt
kind of Tarantino to me when I saw the trailers and the vibe it was giving out. Are you getting that?
No, I mean, I'm not sure if retrofuturism is like an actual, you know, term, but it feels futuristic, but also it feels very much kind of, you know, with his feet very much in the 60s. Yeah. It kind of feels a bit like the locations you see in Loki, in that Disney Plus series, where it feels futuristic, but also it's very much, you know, with like a 60s slant. Mm. But yeah, I've not got a single complaint about it so far. In terms of what the actual game's about, you play as a guy called Colt, and he wakes up on a beach and he's trying to basically work out what the hell's happening to him. He hears like a voice of someone called Juliana. Juliana. He's basically trying to piece together who she is, and then she essentially leads him to this location, pushes him or gets him to jump out of a window, and then he dies, and then he realizes he's in a loop, and in this loop he's trying to basically work out what, you know, who she is, who he is, what he's been doing up until this point. And essentially, as you make your way around these this one massive level, there are four separate sections of this one massive level, and then the day also progresses as you play the game. So with each section and level, you can see it in like the early morning, like lunchtime, early afternoon, and then like in evening, basically. So there's four distinct times where you can access each of these parts of the level, and then at each of those different times of the day, different things happen. I've seen some people compare this to, like, Hitman in some regards, whereby if you go to this one part of, like, a level at a certain time, you will see someone doing something, and that might give you information about something else you can do another part of the map. The ultimate aim, I believe, so far is there's 8 visionaries, that basically these 8 bosses you've got to kill, and the whole idea is that once you've, like, learned enough and, I guess, move pieces in certain ways, the whole idea is that you are managing to kill all 8 of these visionaries in one 24-hour loop, basically.
Right.
Yeah.
Have you managed to kill any of them yet?
No, just one. I've killed Juliana. Now, I've done the one loop. I killed her, which that's not a spoiler. I assume that's just what happens at the end of that first loop. And obviously, no one really dies because, again, me having not played too much, my assumption is no one really dies until they all die. That's what I'm assuming happens.
So it's not about as you're progressing through it, the idea is that you have to line up all kills within one run, right?
Yes, yeah.
They respawn when you respawn. Right, yeah. Okay. How does that keep that fresh then? Because, you know, as cool as a time loop game sounds, there's always that fear that it's going to be repetitive, you know, doing the same things over and over again. And if you're saying you've got to kill how many people? 8?
I think it's 8, yeah.
Is it a situation where, right, I know how to kill that one now, so that means before I go on to the next thing, when I launch the new loop, I'm going to have to go and kill that person again in that same way and then progress, or how's it cope with that?
So I haven't seen all of them. I've only seen Juliana, and she, like I said, she only appeared at the end of the first day. But what this game does do really, really nicely so far is that although that is the task at hand, you as Cole are trying to work out what you're there for, what's happening in that world, and basically his task is to try and stop the loop. Obviously, he realizes it's a stop loop, he's got to kill everyone, but every time you wake up and each time you go to a different part of the map, there's like, okay, I should go here to look at that. And he's trying to piece it together himself. So there's loads of mini missions you can do to, okay, I need to learn about this. Therefore, I go to my flat and then you learn something about that. And he's like, okay, now I need to go to this part of the map at this part of the day because someone got to my flat before I did at a certain time. Therefore, tomorrow I'm going to go to my flat before that person gets there. And then you get there, you learn something, and that means you need to go to some other part of the map at a different time.
Working that stuff out? Is there voiceover telling you is what you should be doing next?
Yeah, so there are not only kind of the cult in a monologue talking to himself about these things, and also Juliana on the radio telling you these things, basically. In the menu system, you can see the 4 different areas of the map and also the 4 different times of day, and then there are loads of like notes that appear as you start discovering things, basically. So yeah, one said, hey, you know, this thing happened at this time at this level, it would be a good idea if I, Cole, went back earlier to stop that thing from happening. So as you go around, as you explore the levels, as you start to unwrap the story, these notes are kind of pinned to the menu to say, you know, you should probably do this before that if I were you.
It's more about unlocking things rather than discovering them.
It's
and
about
working
discovering
out.
Things. There are obviously are loads of kind of documents around the place which you read, and then those are saved, so even if you died then and the loop ended, you still got the information that you learned from everything you see. The information stays. Like if you learn about a code for a safe or door, that information stays. You can use that code for next time. But when you pick up weapons and whatnot, those things don't come with you for the next loop. It's only when you get to upgrade them. I believe I haven't actually started upgrading them yet, but I think there's like some upgrade systems whereby that means that some of the powers you pick up and the upgrades actually remain, and you can actually start improving them as opposed to just picking up a gun, loop ends, and then you've got to kind of start again and find a gun again. So there are loads of different systems over, you know, interwoven, overlaid on each other, not just, okay, I found a source of gun, that's great, but actually there's some other like kind of currencies you can find that means you can upgrade them, and so next time not only will I believe you'll start with like a power, but it might be a better power than you had first time. So there are some things that stay, in such as information, other things that don't stay, but ultimately you're learning about where you need to go and how the story is progressing and unlocking, just simply by looking around the environments and unlocking it that way.
Okay. Anything else to add? Or
no, I still feel like I'm so early in. I mean, like I said, I'm only like 3 to 4 hours in. But I absolutely love the vibe of, and the writing is just so accomplished. And again, I haven't played the Sonic games, so I'm sure they're probably the same. And I haven't really played any Arcane games apart from that, and that couple of hours or so on Prey. But I absolutely love how the dialogue, it works between the characters. It just feels so confident and so engaging, and I'm, you know, interested to know what happens next. You know, I haven't been annoyed by kind of like some of the pithy remarks over the radio. I think it looks great. The weapons feel fantastic as well, and that is really, honestly,
is it difficult or?
No, I haven't found it difficult really at all. I mean, when it came to when I was told Juliana had kind of invaded the area and she was coming to get me, I was getting a bit worried, but no, it was pretty easy to take her down. And you see loads of other kind of standard people to kill as you wander the streets and whatnot, and they're all pretty easy too. You have a good couple of seconds. You come on, basically run up to them. They have these kind of vision cones, so if you stand in front of them, that will kind of fill up, and then it gets to a point where they start, you know, that they've noticed you, and then they'll alert the other guards. But even when they see you, you've got like a good second or so to run up to them and quickly kind of kill them before they make a noise. And you can like grab bottles and throw them in certain directions to kind of split packs up and pick them off one at a time. It's very kind of stealth based, but there were lots of cool weapons and whatnot and abilities.
Yeah, so
you can use
a lot like how Dishonored was, wasn't it,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah, although it kicks off. Although you can, I think you really can choose what kind of playstyle you want, though, because you don't really, I don't think you necessarily have to go stealth. I mean, I've not played it very much yet, but I'm not a huge fan of stealth, and I've enjoyed not having to do that if I didn't want to. And you can still go loud, or it just makes it a lot more difficult. But I completely agree with you, Matt, about the voice, like the voice acting of thing. It's incredible.
Yeah.
Like, it's very, very good, the voice acting. Really enjoying that.
The sort of, the relationship with Juliana's set up amazingly well, even though you don't really know why she despises you, but she fucking does. And it's and the fact that she sort of seems to have total knowledge of what's going on, whereas at the start of the game, you know, you don't remember anything. And she's just completely got you on the back foot, and she's just toying with you. And yeah, just that whole setup is just really good. You get that sense, and like in Cole, you know, comments on this. He says like, I'm pretty sure we used to date. And it's because there's a special type of venom, you know, when she's talking to you, like she fucking hates you. And it's just, yeah, it's good.
But I mean, the only thing I've found so far, and as I said, I'm really, really early in, like in the beginning, I've only played it for probably about 45 minutes or so, is I am finding it a bit overwhelming, like at the beginning, in the sense that it introduces a lot of concepts, like very quickly. There's a lot of menu screens to go through with like tool tips to explain what things are and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Oh,
and,
no.
And it's,
I hate that shit.
And it's one of those things where it's like, I know, I'm pretty certain I'm really going to like this game, but I need to sit down with it for a couple of hours, really, like to properly get into it.
It's always so the way with Arcane stuff, isn't it? Because they're always, they're just so rich with systems and mechanics for you to tool around with that they're just, they're always really intimidating at first.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was definitely like that myself, James. I mean, I'm also not a fan of them just giving you a million systems at once, and you're like, well, do I have to pay attention to this now, really? And like I said, I've done like the first loop and a bit more, and I'm still feel like I'm in the tutorial. I'm still kind of learning new things, and I think there's still some systems I haven't even seen yet. So, it does feel overwhelming. There are not just like the weapons, but it's like trinkets, and trinkets are kind of special abilities you can add to a weapon, or special kind of skills to a weapon. And I believe you can upgrade those trinkets or upgrade something along those lines. So there's upgrades upon upgrades. And there's also lots of things.
There's that whole thing though, is it's like, does this carry over? What doesn't? I'm just a bit confused. you know, like by all the stuff that they just throw at you straight away.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if they're doing it, remember how confused you were with Dark Souls when you first played it. That's true. What I mean? It's that sort of stuff doesn't worry me too much as long as it comes together at some point.
Which I'm sure it will, because it's,
What I'm really enjoying is like just walking through the environment. And I, as you walk through each of these like quadrants of this overall map, basically you have typically like one task or one or two tasks. It'll say, you know, you should go to your flat, you should do this, you should do that. And once you do that, then it basically says you can go to the exit now, and you can go to the next. You can go to the next section of the map, and that will not only let you into that new area, but also it will move the day on to, you know, to the next time area basically. So
it's funny because it sounds morning, a little bit more not forced, but sounds a little bit more regimented in terms of how it wants you to progress through the loops than I thought it would.
I think that's just an initial I think it's just a bit scripted to begin with.
That also surprised me as well when I first started playing, because it started to feel like, okay, this is basically like a puzzle that I've got to work out, like all this stuff. Like, I just need to piece everything together and then there's a route through. Like, but then.
Oh, it definitely feels like that. Yeah, for sure. I mean, like, with the fact that you've got to try and kill all these eight visionaries within one loop, there's clearly like, okay, I need to get people in certain positions. I mean, you can go to certain areas. And if you do things to certain areas, you know, maybe you fuck it up, maybe you move something, that would mean that one person won't be in that place anymore. Maybe that person has moved on to do something else because they couldn't do the thing they wanted to do in that one area. And I believe it's basically a case of doing that for all over the shop. So you're moving everyone into different areas with the hope that you can kill them all in one loop. What I'm really loving is the fact that you can just go into like a random room and you'll see like a shisha pipe or something like connected to like an explosive or something, and you see that it's noted down in your notes. Now I'm like, well, you know, do I have to get someone there? Can I move this thing somewhere else? I mean, who do I get to the shisha pipe? That's what's fascinating, just seeing the various notes, seeing the various kind of contraptions, things that you can play with and interact with in the map, and then seeing, well, is this going to be a crucial part of moving someone from one place to the other? Is this enough to kill someone? That I'm finding fascinating at the moment. And there's still so many things I've seen and discovered that I'm not quite sure how to piece it together, but the story is going along at a nice pace where it says, yeah, you know, this area, do this thing, I do that, I can move on, but I'm still exploring and learning all the other things I'm seeing in the environment as well.
Okay. All right. Well,
yeah,
I can't wait
to play more. Can't wait to play more.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll have a little bit of a better handle of how much you're liking that game in the weeks to come. But I'm eager to play it.
Atmosphere-wise, it's just fantastic. It's absolutely dripping with atmosphere, and I can't wait to see more.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to playing it. I think I'm going to play it next month, so quite looking forward to that. Okay, cool. Should we get onto the Artful Escape?
Yes.
Yeah, do that.
Have we, Sean? You've only played the demo, right?
I haven't
right?
played this at all. Sorry.
Have you looked into it?
I know what it is.
Yeah. Watched any videos?
I know what it is. I've got it downloaded. Just haven't had time.
Okay. All right. All I'd say is, if you're listening to this and you don't know what the Artful Escape is, maybe skip this. I don't know. It's weird because I went into this without knowing a single thing about it. I saw one screenshot of the main character on a cliff playing guitar, and I was like, that looks different, I'll try that. It's on Game Pass. So maybe skip it if you've not played it and you've got Game Pass and you're intending to, you know, give it a go. But have you both finished it, James and Matt?
Yes, I finished it, yeah.
Okay, right. So let's start with James, because James, this is a side-scrolling, essentially a platformer. What did you make of it?
Well, it's not really a platformer though, is it? Like, not really.
No, and it's not a platformer.
It is in the superficial way, but it's not. I mean, it was a surprise. The whole game.
Explain the story and explain what you do in it.
Okay, so this follows like the main character, who is a person who is who's like living somebody else's life, basically. Like, he's a musician who is playing like sort of folk music, And the reason he's playing folk music in this sort of Colorado town is because he has an uncle who was incredibly famous and who had, like, you know, made records that people really loved. And then he kind of feels like he has to do the same thing as well. Like, he, because he maybe looks like him and he also has, like, similar sort of guitar playing ability. But then sort of secretly inside, he still doesn't feel that this is his, what he wants to be. You know, it's not really, you know, he's not a folk player, and really he wants to play like rock music and like sort of, you know, sci-fi inspired prog rock or whatever. And so you sort of start the game by discovering that actually maybe you don't need to be what you know what you're supposed to be, and you sort of go off on this magical adventure where you sort of find who you are, really. Yeah.
That's basically it. And what do you do? Like, what? How do you do that?
So, I mean, it's a side-scrolling platformer where you go through different stages with an electric guitar and get from one area from A to B, and that's really it. But then, at each different stages of the game, you then have to do these sort of, they're not really puzzle sections, are they? They're these kind of like call and repeat sections where
Simon Says stuff.
It's like Simon Says, where like you have to like press buttons in the same way that like the boss character or whatever has done it. But it's very, very gentle with that. Like, if you make mistakes, it doesn't matter. You just try again and just keep doing it. And yeah, until you sort of get through.
You can even do it at the same time.
Yes, you
don't
even
need to wait to the end. Yeah.
And if you make a mistake though, then it just lets you go back again. I mean, that's one of the things which, I mean, I love that because I messed up a lot like when I was doing that, because I hate call and repeat mechanics. Like, I just hate it. I always forget. And also, I found that the on-screen button prompts, I found that a little bit difficult in the way that it mapped to the buttons, because it didn't.
Me too. This is the weakest part of the game for me. Like, the things that you're kind of fighting or matching beats to, they're often like creatures with like weird eyes, and so they've got like the button layout that looks like the eyes, but that doesn't exactly replicate what you're playing on the pad. So I was coming up after playing like,
it does.
Like,
no, it doesn't. It doesn't. It, no. It's,
what are you talking about?
It, okay. It's not like a one to one. Like, if you look at it, it doesn't look like. I just found it awkward. I just found it slightly awkward.
No, it's absolutely a one to one. What are you talking about?
No, it is.
You've got three buttons. The X button, which shows bottom left on the circle. You got the Y button, which is the one in the middle. The B button, which is the one on the right, and then the two shoulder buttons.
Yes, I know.
It's exactly the pad layout.
I know, but it just
no, but because it would have like the two shoulder buttons right next to each other, and then basically right above the X button. But like, obviously, that isn't how the pad is, and so they pulled them together, but they're
still laid out correctly. I mean, what I would say about those bits, the one thing that I thought could have been done better in those bits is that sometimes it was actually quite hard to see where I'm supposed to be looking. And sometimes they didn't highlight the button that I'm supposed to be pressing bright enough to make me go, oh, I'm so supposed to press that now. Sometimes it looks like just a bit of a shadow on it or whatever, and I'm like, what? So I missed that. But in terms of the button layout, it's exactly what the pad is. I'm not with you on that one.
It is, but it's just, there's just, it's really difficult to explain, Dave. Like, it's just, I did not find... what I was seeing visually, I did not find that it translated very well to the pad for me.
I
would totally the opposite of that, because I found it very natural. Like, especially when it was doing the free. In fact, actually, I found it weird. Like, while I was playing it and it was doing the Simon Says stuff, I was like, oh my god, how am I nailing this? Because yeah, like sometimes you have to press a combination of three buttons at once. And I thought, I'm just doing it naturally. I'm not even thinking about it. It was, it was quite kind of weird for me. But I didn't have that experience at all.
Yeah, the reason it confused me, I obviously got through it, but when it would have maybe like three in a row from B to Y to left shoulder button, obviously on the creatures, that just looks like a very small kind of diagonal line, 1, 2, 3, whereas obviously on the pad, you're like, no, obviously I've got a... I was basically kind of playing in a claw fashion sometimes. Yeah. So like, okay, so X is there, and I've got like, you know, it just didn't feel 100%. It wasn't one to one.
Yeah, it didn't feel natural to me at all.
What do you mean it wasn't one to? I don't understand that. No,
it's not that it's not one to one. It's just it didn't, to me, it didn't feel natural at all, like the way it was mapped out. And I know that doesn't make any sense to you, Dave, because you've looked at it and you've just been like, that looks like the pad. To me, for some reason, I couldn't translate it properly in my brain for some reason. It just But it not to like a disastrous, like, you know, it wasn't awful, like, because of that. It was just a bit kind of like, okay, these are I'm making mistakes here. It's my fault.
User error.
Yeah, it was user error. It completely is. It's just, you know, I found that a little bit, but it didn't irritate me. I just felt like, okay, this is my fault. You know, I'm just not doing this right.
I mean, there's nothing really irritating. I think in terms of gameplay, let's stick with the gameplay for now. In terms of gameplay, I think you should be absolutely aware that you're basically not doing anything throughout this game. You know, it's as close to a walking simulator as you can get for a foot side scrolling platform. Well, you know, there's no failing, there's no challenge.
It's like an endless runner with no threat, basically. You know, like you're going from side to side, but there's no fail. Like, I mean,
you can certainly take some joy from nailing certain things.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
There's lots of sliding down. Yeah, there's lots of opportunities to hit buttons in the right place. I think ultimately, having played the full thing, it didn't bother me, but I thought I was left thinking this would, if the gameplay was better, it would have been an improvement. I don't think it got anything from dumbing it down in terms of gameplay.
No, but
I don't think it achieved anything by doing that.
But they give you the tools to make yourself look great when you're doing it, and that's what makes it fun.
We're talking solely gameplay here. In terms of gameplay, you are holding right and holding down the X button for the majority of your play. And occasionally jumping. But even if you fail jumping, it just puts you back on that ledge again and you carry on.
I really appreciate the fact that there's a very, very small move set. You can slide on your knees, you can do a thing where you like press Y and do like a slam on the ground. I really appreciate the fact that I can just enjoy the music and the spectacle and what
you,
it's like
you don't
to travel
think
through
it would be
environment.
Better if the gameplay was improved, if there was more of a game to it.
I think the game is experiencing the music, experiencing his journey, and it was great just have like, you know, I can slide on my knees or I can do this. And I felt that felt great, you know, doing those massive jumps in air and then sliding on your knees and jumping over other platforms.
You've said sliding on your knees three times like that.
It was so fun. It's a five-hour game. If you
nail
it, it's almost like Tony Hawk's. It felt that good at times. So if you nail it and, you know, brilliant. I'm happy. I didn't need him. I didn't need loads of complicated gameplay mechanics. I think it worked perfectly well as it was.
Yeah, this is encouraging to me because I mean, obviously I haven't played it, I might end up agreeing with Dave, but watching trailers of it and stuff, my thoughts were very much like, I hope this is barely interactive because it just looked like an excellent, you know, string of music videos. And
okay, so that's the gameplay stuff. What did you think? How did you come out thinking about this game, James?
Absolutely loved it. I came out of it feeling really good about the whole thing. I mean, mostly because of the, I like the message it was trying to say. I really like that. I thought it was well told, and I like the way that you could, like, later on you get the chance to like customize your character and stuff, and that's part of the narrative of like breaking out of yourself and becoming what you want to be. And I liked it a lot.
I think one major, I don't know if you agree with me, in terms of customization, it's got some really interesting, it does some really interesting stuff with customization, right? There's some choices that you make in the game that actually form quite, not a big part of the story, but makes you connect with the story a little bit more because of the choices you've made. One mistake I genuinely think they made was letting you write in your own character name.
Yeah.
And that, I don't know if, because the way it deals with that, Sean, is whenever your character's name is said, it replaces what would have been your name with a guitar solo.
Right, okay.
And they say your name a lot in it. So it will be, welcome to the forest.
It sounds like Bill and Ted.
For starters, the voice acting in this game is like next level. Yeah. Like, it's brilliant throughout. The voice acting is so good. They nail every character is nailed. It sounds brilliant. And I just thought, just give me a selection of names and slip a name that I can just. And they sort of semi do that. So it gives you a prefix to your name. So I think mine was called the Incredible Stardust. By like, that's what I named my character, because someone earlier in the game describes you as being like Stardust. And I was like, okay, that sort of fits with the persona I'm going for. And the unmissable Stardust, that was it. So the unmissable was taken from a selection of names, and then the Stardust I typed in. But the problem was, it was always like, I am the unmissable. And I was like, it kind of ruins that feeling, because the stuff that they do where you've got pre-selected things that you get to choose from, it fucking nails it really well. You know, there's stuff where you're just having a conversation and you think you're just having a conversation with someone, and then it becomes part of something, you know? And when that creeps into the story, it's like, fuck, yeah, because that he wouldn't have said that if I didn't select that option. But with the guitar solo, it kind of kills that aspect of it, I think.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Yeah, I wasn't particularly keen on the way that I did that. Yeah.
No.
Yeah,
okay,
I agree, but then the whole point is that you're not Francis, you are this new alter ego, so they couldn't have just given everyone the same name. I guess.
No,
I
no, guess they could have given you a selection of names. Like,
no, but then part of this is you're defining who you are.
That anyway.
I know.
James, I get that, but there are so many moments where part defining who you are is set out with three choices that just doing that one more time is not a problem. And I would rather have that and have the voice acting throughout than it being replaced with a guitar solo. It would clearly have improved it, in my opinion. Like, if they'd have just said, okay, pick a name. You know what I mean? It just would have clearly improved it, because I thought that the guitar solo stuff just did not work, and it was really distracting. Even, like, Harry was watching me playing it and going, why is that noise kicking off every time someone's talking? I'm like, because they're saying my name. Well, why don't they just say your name? Because they'd have to record every letter sound for every voice actor.
That didn't annoy me, but it definitely kind of lost a punch. Like, I wanted him to say my name. I wanted to say a name, but obviously they couldn't. Yeah. So it definitely lost something. It didn't annoy me. And I think, as James says, it definitely plays into the story of you being you. You're not, you know, you're not just the name from before.
So,
you know,
judging by what you've said so far, Matt, you loved it as well, right?
Oh yeah, I thought it was absolutely fantastic. Yeah, I've seen the trailers before, because on a couple of like Xbox showcases or whatever. But I remember seeing a trailer, E3 or whatever it was, thinking like, how is this even a game? And I thought that for most of the game as I was playing it. I mean, I absolutely love the story. I love the writing. I thought that, you know, the music was just brilliant throughout. It was immensely satisfying just going through all those environments and seeing Francis, the character you play, kind of turn into you know, the person he is. It was awesome kind of seeing how the other characters kind of how their stories went and how they change over the course of the game as well. Like, Carl Weathers was fantastic, and
Did you experience any technical hitches? Did you have any frame dropping? Because I had quite a bit of that.
I didn't have any of that.
Not at all. No, you didn't have a single frame drop.
Not like I recall.
Seriously.
Wow.
I mean,
okay.
If I did, I don't remember it, so it couldn't have been that bad.
Yeah, there was quite a bit for me.
Did this come out on anything else, or only on Xbox?
And PC.
Yeah, because when I was playing it, I was thinking, this looks really nice, and I just can't imagine this running on, like, Switch or something. Like, I just can't see
that
happening.
No, it hasn't come out on Switch. No, I don't even know if it came out on the One consoles. Oh, no, it did come out on Xbox One as well, yeah. I'd be interested to see how it runs on Xbox One. But I was running on Series X, and it was frame-dropping. I'll say this, so I had no idea what this game was. I saw, like, people were talking about it on Twitter, so I went on to one of the video reviews, and I saw a character playing guitar on a cliff, and I thought, it's on Game Pass, I'll play that, let's see what that's all about. And I'm glad that I didn't watch the rest of that video. This game absolutely blew me away. Like, genuinely, I fell in love with it so much that I came away from it thinking, this is just so good. Don't get me wrong, I can see, you know, and I have seen people saying, I don't get it, right? Firstly, if you're not, like, I'm not into the music that it is sort of forcing on you. And I don't even think it really matters if you don't like that sort of music. I'm not a huge fan of, you know, 80s space rock, you know, stadium glamour, all that sort of stuff.
Me neither.
You know, goddamn, I appreciate what Bowie did.
I was going to say, this feels like a big sort of Bowie tribute.
It's a Bowie versus Dylan thing, Dylan, right? Yeah. And that's kind of, but none of it is, cynical. Mm. So it's not being cynical about Bowie's music. It's not even being cynical about Dylan's music. It's not saying, you know, move away from that boring, slow guitar. It's not, it kind of pays respect to both, right, even though this particular character doesn't appreciate, you know, Dylan style folk, you know, music, and it's aspiring to be this big glam rock thing. So I'm not a massive fan of those genres anyway, but my word, it just blew my face off. The first time you walk through the door, you know the bit I'm talking about. The first time you leave the town and walk through that door, I was just like gobsmacked at what I was seeing on the screen. And blown away by how everything sounds. You know, we spoke about the voice acting, but the music just sounds incredible throughout.
Especially with headphones on. It sounds so good.
This is absolutely a game for headphones or playing as loud as possible. Yeah, the sound and music is just absolutely amazing in this game.
Holding down the X button and the character just wailing on a guitar solo is just brilliant. And I was listening to an interview with the developer today, and they were saying, how did you get the guitar solo to sort of sync up with the rest of the soundtrack so that you could just bust out a guitar solo at any point? And 9 times out of 10, I was just doing it from start to finish anyway.
Yeah.
Like, how did you get it to like all sync up like that? And they were like, we don't. That's not how it's developed. And he made this amazing point. You know about how if you press play on a Pink Floyd album, Dark Side of the Moon, is it? When just as the third roar from the intro to is it Alice in Wonderland, something like
Wizard of Oz,
yeah, if you play that at the same time, then you kind of, the music syncs up to the film. And he was saying, well, that's not true, they didn't do that, but it's your brain trying to force it, right? And it's your brain. And he said that's exactly how this works. You know, the guitar solo is just playing, but your brain is forcing it to sort of work with the music behind it. And fuck me, does that work? Like, they've absolutely nailed that, because there's bits in it where it genuinely sounds like it's supposed to do that, where the music dips behind him, but then he goes into sort of he changes the sort of pace of the guitar solo, and it just all lines up perfectly. My word, I just, the stuff you see throughout your 5 hours of play is like, I've never seen a game like it.
Yeah, I took many pictures in this game. I was constantly like taking pictures on the Xbox because everything looked amazing. It looked cool as hell. I loved it. When you do those massive jumps and then you press kind of X at the right time and you do like a massive solo. Just like every one of those is like a wallpaper quality picture. That it's such a gorgeous game.
I was just going to say, it's about 5 hours long, is it? That seems really generous considering, you know, when it's like a music game, you're just like, well, it's going to be the length of an album at best, right? Whereas 5 hours seems like quite a lot.
Yeah, yeah. Well, but the thing is, there's it's sort of like it is a music game. Again, the developer described it as a musical rather than a music game, because there are big music bits and then there's a lot of story. Yeah. There is a lot of story in this. And the story, in my opinion, is beautifully written, really touching, really hit a nerve with me. Like, you know, it talks about creativity and whether creativity should be sitting within someone's shadow. Does that affect the point of creativity? How you should reject preconceptions of your work and all this sort of stuff. Now, I'm not an artist. I'm not a musician or anything like that. But just hearing it explained in this way within this framing, it just really hit home with me. It just made me think of what musicians, artists go through when they're putting stuff together and when they're trying to work out their own voice and you know, when they're at the early stages of their career or their development or whatever. It was so touching. And alongside the fact that, as I said, the voice acting is amazing, but the comedy in it is really funny as well. There's some real big laughs in there. I was absolutely blown away with this game. I'm so glad I played it, and I'm even more happy that I didn't see any of the stuff that's in it before I played it, because going to see that fresh and not expecting it was a mind fuck. Like, it blew my mind. I just, up until the credits, everything, the little story bit at the end, just everything about it, I loved. You know, my criticisms still remain. You know, I had frame dropping in my version. I don't know whether that was because I kept going back to it with quick resume or whatever. But that was, I found that very frustrating. I thought, yes, this could have been even taken to a next level if the gameplay was better, because it really is just walking from left to right on the screen, holding a button, and then doing some Simon Says stuff. Like, it didn't really add enough of that for me. There are moments where it just lets you play the notes, like the, so you've got, as we said, the buttons are X, Y, B, and the two shoulder buttons, right? That's it. There are moments where it lets you play those notes, so you can try and work out a little guitar, your own little guitar solo to a bit of the music or whatever. There wasn't enough of that for me. Like, it felt that it could have given me that creativity a little bit more, but it only does that only a handful of times. But just everything else about it, with my criticisms aside, which I stand by, everything else about it was so high in quality. The sound, the visuals, the story, the voice acting, you know, everything was of such high quality that those criticisms just become little niggles rather than anything that's going to sway the fact that I'm pretty sure this is on my Game of the Year list, you know.
Yeah.
I've thought about it so much since finishing it. And I've, unlike most games like this, I would usually play a 5-hour game, play it through to the end, see the credits, delete it from a hard drive, like straight away. I'm not going to do that because I'm pretty sure I'm going to do another run of it. Like, I'm almost certain, because it's just so beautiful to look at. So good to be in that. I don't know, man. It was one of those, you know, when you get excited to boot it up again, like genuinely excited just to see what was next, you know, turning it off in the evening and just thinking, oh man, I just want to get up in the morning and put it on again.
See, that's the thing, because I played it through in pretty much two sittings, really. Because I was I'm really enjoying this. Like, I just didn't want it to end. It was very good.
I think the thing that kind of hit me most is that bit, fairly close to the end, where you get to fully customise your character. And I typically don't really bother with that sort of stuff. But I felt the story was happening in such a way that was absolutely like my time to be who I really wanted to be. And I thought it was just great, because if they let you do that right at the beginning, I would have just thought, yeah, whatever. But it just meant so much more
at that time.
Yeah, time, and it was like, this is just brilliant. And always just a character customization we've seen like a thousand times, but just doing that at the right time in the story just elevated it. And yeah, it's absolutely amazing game. I loved it from the start.
Sean, you love it. I've got absolutely no doubt in my mind that you adore it.
I've gone from being, you know, oh, that looks cool, I will check it out, to actually being well excited. I'm really looking forward to this now.
Yeah. Yeah, you should be, because, you know, all right, we've spoken about a lot of stuff. I know, not having a pop at you for saying it, Matt, like, but the customization stuff later on feels like really cool, so it's a shame you know that's coming. However, you know, there's so much stuff to see in this that's such a minor thing to mention. Yeah. Goddamn! What a game! What an experience! Like, a real interesting, funny, entertaining experience that seriously blew me apart when I played it.
And
so happy I went for it,
because you told me to play it as well, Dave. Like, you said you should play this, and then because I asked you, like, what is the deal, and you said it's better to not know, like, going in, and you were totally right.
That's
like,
right.
The less you know about this, the better, I think, going in. It's
the moment when you walk through that door is the moment, isn't it? That's when you go, oh, this is a cutesy sort of story driven thing, oh, there's some weird stuff happening, but okay. And then you walk through the door and you're like, what the fuck? What? Why haven't games looked like this before? Like, how is this pop? It's one of those. It's like, oh, this is possible, is it? You know what I mean? It's
I don't know how they've done it, but it's a little bit like, it reminds me a little bit like of like the moment when you're in Ratchet and Clank and you go into an area and there's so much going on in the sky that you just kind of like a bit like, whoa, look at all of this. It's like that, but consistent for the full 5 hours that you're playing it. It's, yeah, there's so much going on. It's unbelievable. And never dips in imagination, you know. That's the other thing. As I was playing it, I was thinking, where's these ideas coming from? Okay, now we have this, which if you play the guitar next to it, it stands up and then lasers beam out from everything. And it's just unbelievable. As I say, I can understand if people were turned off by it, by not enjoying the music, or they get bored by just pressing right and holding X, which fully understandable. But for me, it did something for me, and it just sort of connected with me, and I was blown away. Yeah, really, really good. Highly recommended.
That's funny.
The Artful Escape, it's called, and it's fucking excellent.
And it's also, it to me, it felt like it's come out of nowhere as well. Like, I'd seen a trailer for it, but then, yeah.
It has been shown off a few times.
It did for me, but yeah. it's been in development for a long time. It was a failed Kickstarter game. They tried to kickstart it about 5 years ago, and it didn't reach its goal. So thank God they found a way of putting it together, because, yeah, really, really loved it.
Cool.
Cool. So that's probably the Artful Escape done. Sean, you weren't here last week. How far into Life is Strange, True Colors
are you? As far as I would like. I'm about halfway through chapter 2.
Okay. So you're about where I was last week. And Sean and Matt, James, you both finished it now?
Yes, I finished it, yeah.
Okay, I've finished it too. So the spoiler cast is coming. I've got, I think, 8 pages of notes to go through on that spoiler cast. Man. Yeah. Well, I've been keeping notes while playing it, so because I knew that we'd be doing this thing. But how are you finding it? Let's start with Sean first.
I absolutely love it so far. I think it's, you know, listening to you guys talk about it last week, I'm very much where like Matt was last week, and it just, everything about it feels like a step up. Just in terms of, like, you know, technically for starters, and you know, beyond it just looking nice, I think the, you know, you can tell like the motion capture stuff really helps. I think that James, you were saying about her like baring her teeth quite a lot.
Yes,
that is a thing. That is definitely a thing. But by and large,
she does it less later.
Okay, good.
It happens.
Yeah, but the kid takes over, doesn't he? The kid starts doing it. Every
hey,
five
all
minutes
of them though.
Well.
They all of the characters love flashing their teeth. They just love doing it.
Except for one of them that's got a massive beard, so you just don't see it.
By and large, there's just loads of like really nice little sort of nuances to the animation that I think really helps. I feel like the script is, you know, it's much more in the style of Life is Strange 1, but in a way less cringeworthy way. And you know, and I know that was more or less just the very first episode of Life is Strange 1, where, you know, we were sort of rolling our eyes at all the references and some of the language and stuff, which, as Dave pointed out, is a load of old white men, you know, laughing at the way teenagers speak. But still... this feels, you know, like this definitely has, you know, language in it that I associate with younger people, but it doesn't like throw me off. Like, you know, if they say like something is heck or whatever, I'm like, yeah, whatever. Like, I'm not like rolling
something
my head.
Something is heck. Do they say that?
I can't remember.
I didn't notice that. This is heck.
That's
what
kids say now, Dave. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh my god, this is absolute heck.
I didn't pick up on that. I've never heard that before. Such a weird thing to say.
It's got language I associate with people younger than me, that things I wouldn't necessarily say, but it's not making me roll my eyes the way Life is Strange 1 did. I think Alex is a great character. I really... You know, I really like the fact that, you know, you're sort of digging through like these sort of big like incidents in her life, you know, even just like going through messages on her phone and stuff, and the way she talks about her past, and you realize that, yeah, it's this power she's got that has, you know, as you're playing the game, it's starting to benefit her, and she's sort of learning to use it, but it's basically been a curse for most of her life up to this point, and it's just led to, you know, like emotional outbursts and stuff, and it's why so, you know, she's like having to go to therapy and stuff, and feels incredibly misunderstood. I think that the stuff with the power is really interesting to me, because, you know, yeah, like everyone's made the joke that's like, oh, what, just like being able to empathize with people is a superpower now, right? And it is, like, obviously, yeah, it's not time travel, it's not telekinesis. But I quite like the fact that because it's not much of a superpower, it puts Alex in situations and it allows her to do things that, like, you can actually learn from as a human being watching these things play out. Like, all right, we can't literally tap into people's heads and figure out what they're thinking or feeling or whatever. But it does sort of, you know, you watch these situations and the way Alex handles them, and you do kind of think, like, I could probably do that more, like, with people who are clearly having a bad time. Like, I probably could learn to actually take the time to consider how they are feeling and why they are feeling the way they are. Like, especially, you know, like, we've all got kids. You have to do that a lot when they're young, right? Because they're bad at explaining themselves and they're very sort of irrational and stuff. And that sort of, that early bit with, oh my God, I've forgotten his name, the kid. But
it is Ethan, isn't it?
Yeah. And he's really scared, and everyone's just like, oh, just come on, it'll be fine, like, don't be scared. And that does not work on children. And then, you know, without spoiling anything, Alex's ability to sort of tap in and be like, right, this is what he's afraid of, and it's something illogical, but by figuring it out, she can sort of work with it. And you know, and I just found that really interesting, because it just, as I say, it's not much of a superpower, but it just made me think that, like, it sets an example of, like, ways people could maybe, you know, stand to behave a bit more.
Well, that's true. I never thought of it.
So
like,
yeah, so I'm down with the power stuff. I do think there's definitely an ethical question, and I know you mentioned this last week, that, like, you know, it's one thing, you know, it's like, oh, this person's sad, this is why I can, right, here's how I can help them, and that, but there are definitely situations where it's like, oh, I have just found out something about this person that she is hiding from everyone else, that, like, she hasn't even told her own daughter or whatever, and that's, yeah, that's a bit weird.
That's the stuff that it doesn't do. Yeah. Well, it does address it a little bit later down the line, but there's some weird stuff in there where you're just like, how involved should I be getting in this situation? You know?
Yeah, because the weirdest thing is bad when you used to read someone's emails on the laptop in Life is Strange.
Oh, mate, there's worse than that in this. There's worse than that in this, definitely. There's more moments where you're like, right, okay, I'll give the example. There's a moment where you're trying to help a shopkeeper, which you're referring to, I assume, Sean. And to help her out, you literally have to go into her little office behind the counter. And I was thinking, why is she not going?
What are you doing?
Can you get out?
Get out of there. What are you doing in my office? My computer's in there and stuff, you weird. That's just weird, isn't
it? In terms of the writing, that's the least believable bit, isn't it? Is that you arrive at this town, no one knows who you are. Obviously, they know that you're Gabe's sister, but that just seems to just get you the key to the city, no questions asked. Like, everyone fucking loves you.
Although, and how many chapters are you in?
I'm just on chapter 2 so far, so.
Yeah, because one of the things about it is they don't also really explain the passage of time very well in this. Like, in the sense that, there is, between the chapters, there is, like, it seems to be, like, a more substantial gap than appears.
Yeah, is it between 2 and 3 where there's a big jump? Yeah, there's, and like, it doesn't even, like, come up with, like, 4 weeks later or something, you know, you just got to check the text messages. Because it's like, obviously, there's a tragic event in chapter 1, And literally in chapter two, they're all just walking about laughing and joking. And I was like, see,
what? That's one of the other things that I was much less keen about with this as well, like compared with the other Life is Strange games, is that this really relies on you to have to read through all like the notebooks and text messages and stuff. See, like, to a much greater degree to fill in the backstory.
I've quite enjoyed doing it. I say enjoyed. Like, obviously, you know, digging through Alex's past, a lot of it's really sad. But yeah, I thought that stuff's been quite nice.
Oh, it gets sadder. Don't worry about that. But I do think they didn't really deal with her dealing with the tragic situation that well.
No.
It seemed to be her thoughts about it just didn't exist after the first chapter. And then after that, it was very much everyone else was reacting to what happened.
I suppose it's... You just I don't know. There's a bit... you can go up onto the roof and you can have a sit down, and she has a bit of internal monologue about how she's feeling. But yeah, like beyond that, it's like everyone asks how you're doing, and your options are like, yeah, I'm okay, or yeah, not so good. And it's, to be fair, I mean, what the fuck do you say? You know, when you've just been bereaved, like, you're not going to go into it with every person you meet.
Yeah, I know, but keep playing it. It does seem like people got over that pretty quickly. I come out of it ultimately thinking it's good, but it's not to the level of the previous two series, in my opinion. I think it's sort of... And I think I was sort of thinking, why? You know, last week I mentioned it was slow, and I think that's right. But I think... More to the point, it feels like there's less peril involved.
Yeah, it lacks an edge throughout it really
the
lacks
gameplay.
An edge.
Yeah, it lacks an edge, doesn't it? It doesn't have, like, the decisions didn't seem as important as they have done in
previous.
I
mean, obviously, I'm still only early on, but there's been like one seemingly pivotal decision, and it definitely made no difference. You know, when you in these games where you make a decision and everything sort of plays out in a way that you're like, oh, this is because I said what I said, but what has happened is so crucial to the story that there was no way it wasn't going to happen. Do you know what I mean? Like, it wouldn't have mattered if I'd chosen the other thing. Like, it'll be interesting when we do the spoiler cast to see if there is actually any variation, really.
Yeah, like, I'm at the end of this thinking I'd be very surprised if we all didn't come out with very similar outcomes. Like, you know... Well, or at least
I know for a fact that we do, because I finished after you guys, and so you know you get that thing with the results screen. It tells you what your friends have done.
But like, for me, it was kind of like, you know, even if we have different outcomes, I think it's more of a massive start of Mass Effect 3 situation rather than the end of Mass Effect 2. You know what I mean? It's like, it's more, okay, well, the same thing happens, but this character replaces this character in this scene. Yeah. You know, it feels like that. So it'd be interesting to go through the choices. But I think when I think back to Life is Strange Season 1, where you had all of the stuff that went down in that game, and how much I cared about the characters, and I cared about the characters in this game. Like, I'm not saying this is a bad game at all. I think it's good. I just felt that it was the weakest one. And I think that was mainly because I think back to season one, season two, and I think about the journey and where it went and how involved everyone was. And I look at this and say, I think actually this, there was a way less of all of that in this version. There was way less of the fuck, what do I do? And holy shit, I need to make this choice. And it's really difficult to make. Like, I didn't have any of those moments in this. As I say, enjoyed the story. I thought setting it one town isn't a terrible idea if there wasn't only like three locations in that town that you get to go in.
Yeah.
You know, there are tons of shops and stuff and buildings, but you're going into you got the record store, the flower shop,
the dispensary.
The pub.
Dispensary.
You got the pub.
And, yeah, and the dispensary. But then the dispensary, you don't go in there that much, do you?
You can go in all of them if you want.
Right, okay. And then the record shop. The record shop's
record
amazing,
shop's beautiful,
by the way.
Isn't it?
But,
yeah,
you
know, really nice.
Yeah, it's incredible. Like, it's like, and the setting's great, but the whole thing is in that one area.
And it's quite small.
And I just kind of thought...
It is quite small.
Yeah. I kind of thought, well, either make it extremely detailed, right, to the point where you can go in anywhere and see anything or whatever, or you know, you think about the places that season two went. You know, it was constantly new locations and all of that sort of stuff, but this didn't, and it was kind of strange.
I like that. Like it's cheesy to say, but it did kind of feel like the town was another character. Like I like the fact that I
don't agree. See, that's what I don't agree with. That's it. I think had the town been way more detailed and way more going on, that would have been right. Like say Shenmue, for example, a big part of Shenmue was existing in that town. Whereas in this game, it felt like the town was only there to serve the plot, rather than it being a living, breathing town.
Yeah, and also the other thing with that was that it feels, because you know, like if you try and walk up another street and it's like, yeah, it gives the usual like better turn around and do like whatever.
Where it's like the
invisible walls. Yeah. And I was disappointed by that because I thought like, oh, okay, this is going to open up later. Like I'm going to be able to go up there.
James. Exactly, because she says a couple of things like, it's like, oh, I can't go to this part of town now. I'm like, oh my God, it's going to open up. I'm like, this is going to be like a GTA where I can go down that area later.
Get on a motorcycle.
I could go and rob that car.
But it wasn't. No, yeah. It's just the dialogue they use. It wasn't, you didn't just turn around. It's like, oh, I can't go to this part of town now. I'm like, oh wow.
It'd be better if she'd just walked into it and gone, no, like that, and then turn around.
Yeah, don't get my hopes up.
Now, there is a sensitive subject that we need to discuss with this game. And have I got freedom to chat without you getting upset, Matt?
Yeah, well, I mean, go for it.
Did you think about the representation of a bald man in this game?
I didn't really think about that.
Didn't see the character?
Which character?
Did you see the character? The character literally called the bald man.
Oh yeah, outside the shop. Yeah, on the phone.
I mean, you see him loads of times throughout
the
game.
Is he the one with the anger management problems?
Oh yes.
Yeah, he's an angry man on the phone.
There's one bald guy in the game, and he's going around furious at everyone. And I thought, this isn't a nice representation of bald people at all, is it?
It does that weird thing, doesn't it? There's loads of, you know, characters dotted around who have nothing to do with the story or anything, and it'll just give them a name like Bench Guy or whatever. Like,
it does.
Weird.
Well, this one, the first time I saw Bald Man, I went up to him and noticed that I could listen to his thoughts. So I listened to his thoughts and he just went, fuck! I was like, okay, fine. Wow. There's a bit where he gets his car clamped.
Yeah, he was quite annoyed when that happened.
He was quite annoyed.
He was on comedy. But I do like, I mean, I don't know if you can affect him so much, but there's loads of other people who are just called, you know, like sweet boy or, you know, whatever. And you can affect loads of that kind of stuff by listening in. And I like the fact. Yeah.
Yeah.
There are loads of kind of like,
but I feel when you're saying that the town feels like, you know, a character itself, that's what I thought it should have done. Like, but I don't think it sort of stepped into that sort of Shenmue territory where it felt like you were part of the town. It always felt like this is set up for me to go into these specific shops.
Yeah, but then, at this specific point, this is a Life is Strange game. They were never going to like change it so it's an open world thing. I feel like
it didn't need to be open world. It just needed to be more detailed, I think.
I guess it could have done. But that wouldn't necessarily mean it would be a better story. It served a story by being as detailed as it was. I mean, yes, I could have gone in all those shops or buildings. I don't know if that would have really elevated the story at all.
I mean, I should say...
It's not about elevating the story. It's about elevating the setting. It's about elevating the atmosphere of where the game's set, you know, to make it feel like a town rather than, you know, specific locations that you're going into to serve a story. You know, it didn't feel as alive as, like, for example, Ethan is the only child in that place. Like, Ethan has got no friends.
That is the other thing where there's parts of the game where, like, it's like, oh, there's a town meeting or whatever, and you're like, is this all the people?
is this all
the people that live in this place? This is mad.
Yeah. I mean, it just so happens that the few people that I've met are also at this council meeting.
I mean, obviously, I haven't played enough of it for the town to feel, you know, cramped yet. But it is fucking gorgeous. Like, I love the...
Oh, God, yeah, it really is.
You know, just the way the town looks and just the art style in general, this sort of constant sort of slightly soft focus on everything. I think, it's absolutely beautiful. So yeah, I mean, it's interesting, like you saying that there's not as, you know, there's not much peril involved, and I'm sort of all right with that. From what I've been getting out of it so far, it's just been a nice sort of bit of escapism, really, and I found it quite
Pleasant.
Yeah,
totally. And there's a lot of people that have appreciated that. For me, well, talking personally here, you know, there's a lot of people that are saying, actually, I like the chilled out vibe of a lot of it, and just walking about and that. But I feel that for me, it just kind of it lacked that sort of purpose and what I loved about the previous games, you know.
But you see, the trouble is, I better not say, because it's just
no, go on.
There's no spoiler. Because it's plot, yeah, it's plot related and all that kind of thing. Okay. But there's, you know,
the one thing I will say about this, it really does feel like it's designed to be played in one go or a couple of sittings. It's not like the other games where it's like each episode was a cliffhanger or this, that, and the other. It's like, oh, what happens next? It really feels like it must have been designed to be played.
You see what I was saying last week about if we were doing a spoiler cast for each episode.
Yeah,
there'd be
a
couple of episodes we'd be like, right, we did this, and then. It's not like we'd be playing that chapter and going, oh, can't wait for the next one, like in 2 months or whatever.
Yeah, it's not really like that.
Yeah, it doesn't grab you like that, does it?
But I absolutely fell in love with Alex. I thought she's an amazing character. I absolutely loved playing as her and her navigating.
She's ace. She's proper good.
Navigating life and relationships and whatnot. I thought it was fantastic. I mean, I like this a lot more than you did, David. I'm still kind of racking my brain to see how this fits in kind of, you know, in the kind of ranking of the other ones. But I mean, I feel like I liked Alex more. I feel more kin with Alex than I did with like the characters in Life is Strange 1, for instance. I really felt deeply about kind of the Diaz boys in that series, but that was different. Yeah, that was but I just great. Absolutely loved Alex's character. I loved everything about
it.
Like she was okay. I think for me, she felt more like a vessel than anything else.
Really? Well, this, like, okay, that, all right.
Well, God, I wish I could talk about this. This is really annoying.
I can't wait to do a spoiler cast because there are some things which they're not like, oh my God, that decision. It's like, I think there's lots of softer decisions, if I can say, that I'm fascinated to talk about, that I think maybe we can all be very different on in terms of how it affected the story and whatnot. Whereas in like the first Life is Strange and one since, you know, you were making like massive decisions about, you know, literally the future of, you know, everyone in an area. These felt like much bigger decisions, but on like a macro scale. I'll be able to talk more when we do a spoiler cast, but they're like massive to Alex. But they weren't, you know, her decisions weren't gonna, you know, kill millions of people kind of thing. It was about her and how she lives her life and her relationships. And I just absolutely loved her. I thought it was a fantastic game.
I'm gonna
okay.
Well, I'm sort of torn because having played what I've played so far, I'm now wishing I'd started it with New, because I think, you know, I didn't get to play Life is Strange 2 with her, but she really enjoyed playing through the first one with me. So part of me is like, it would be really cool to just start it again with her and try and do it all, but then it'll probably take me about a month to finish it if I do that. So just in terms
of... We need to get this spoiler cast done.
So maybe not. But yeah, I fucking love it so far. Interesting to see if I feel any different by the end, because I feel like you sort of...
I don't think you will. If you're loving it if you're loving it this much at this point, I think, because I had my reservations at that point last week, and I feel it does get better, specifically the last two chapters. It gets way more interesting. It just felt like, especially after 3 chapters in, I was kind of like, okay, but there's one chapter in this that was pretty cool and a neat idea, but I just thought, this is going on for a long time and it's pretty much the whole chapter and it hasn't really done much. Like, it was a fun little jaunt, but at the same time, I was kind of like, this should be getting back to the main story
now.
Yeah,
I know what you mean. I was so impressed with that whole chapter, but I do know what you mean.
I think there's one... If I had to complain about one thing, the whole thing with her power is, you know, when people are feeling strong emotions, she sort of can't help but sort of feel and absorb them and mirror them. And end up feeling the same way, and fine, but they pick and choose when that happens. Like, if that's her whole deal, and then she literally walks into someone's wake, and you're not getting any sadness off anyone, Alex? No? Okay. like surely walking into that room, she should just be like absolutely overwhelmed, but it doesn't fit the scene, does it? So they're just like, we'll just skip that.
Well, that's what I'm saying as well. We didn't really experience her sadness when it comes to that event.
Yeah, it's all about other people.
It was kind of like, it was all about other people, which kind of is a theme, actually, and it does kind of address that towards the end of the game. But at the same time, it is still kind of like, hold on a minute. there's another scene where a character's gone missing and you're supposed to be frantically looking for him, and she's cracking jokes about, you know, things that are laying about the really horrible area. And I was a bit like, you're having a laugh? Like, what the fuck? But, you know, video games, isn't it?
It is video games.
I sound like I'm being negative. I enjoyed my time with the game. I just didn't get that hit of Life is Strange that I was expecting. Because, you know, there's been slower versions of Life is Strange before the storm. Certainly did things a lot slower than the other Life is Strange games. You know, there's that very famous scene with Life is Strange fans with the when you're putting on the school play, and that really, I loved that. I thought it was so touching, so well done. And it felt like this tries to do similar things but doesn't quite have the same emotional impact for me.
I mean, overall,
I should be clear with that.
I mean, it seems like, don't nod her out of the picture now. Are you happy with Deck Nine being the Life is Strange studio going forward?
I would play another one of these. Yeah, it's not turned me off the series.
I'd
be interested to see what they do next.
Enjoyed this more than Tell Me Why, I think, honestly.
Oh, yeah. God, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. 100%. Yeah, this was better than Tell Me Why, for sure.
Yeah, massively. I'm still thinking about it now. I really am. Which I don't know, I don't think I've done it with a Life is Strange game for a long time.
Cool.
Right. Okay. That's what we've been playing this week. Let's get some questions done. Oh my God, we're 2 hours 20 in.
I don't think we've got that many questions, to be fair. I think we can probably blast through it. If you want to send us a question, go to tcgs.co/DearTCGS. Is someone playing Silly Buggers? Oh no, it's alright. It's alright, it's fine. I thought James was deleting questions again.
I'm touching nothing. I'm touching nothing.
This question comes from Pain Gas. I think it's fair to say it's been a bit of a Game Pass loving at points on the podcast recently. This week is no different, really. But do you have concerns about the future of a games industry dominated by streaming services and not direct purchases? Streaming and the loss of income from the secondary market has had major and, on balance, not very positive effects on music and film. So if gaming does go to a largely streaming-based model, I don't think it'll escape. I do worry the I'll wait till it's on Game Pass effect will have a long-term negative effect on the industry.
I have concerns about this that I've talked about before, because I mean, my main concern about this is the way that it could potentially change the way that games are made, in the sense of maybe, you know, the games become significantly shorter, maybe they become based on even more sort of things like, okay, you get this free, but then later on there's loads of DLC and stuff that you still have to pay for and things like that. That hasn't happened yet with Game Pass, but it could do. And that's my concern with this, is that
it comes back to this thing of, is Game Pass sustainable? Microsoft say it is. I still don't see how it could possibly be.
I have my doubts.
My concern, I think it's just what inevitably is going to happen is that, basically, you know, if/when Xbox is back on top, then they'll start, you know, maybe it'll still have the big first party stuff, but then we'll stop getting this sort of constant feed of like cool indie stuff, maybe.
But also the price will go up.
Because
if they're on top, they can totally do that. You know, suddenly it's becoming £20-25 a month or whatever, you know. And, you know, it could become a lot.
I mean, the music analogy, so, you know, I'm a paid Spotify user, however, I did recently notice they've started allowing artists to put like a tip jar on their Spotify profile, which
that's good of them, isn't it?
That kind.
Fucking hell.
And you know, and nothing against the artists who've used that, but it's just that's clearly not a working system, is it? If that's being, you know, if that's something that they're having to do to make Spotify work for them, then that's not, yeah. So I'm now considering.
That's bad, isn't it?
So I'm now sort of thinking, like, do you know what? Like, I'll keep Spotify for, you know, discovery and convenience, but I should now be going out of my way to buy stuff I really like on Bandcamp or whatever. And maybe that's, you know, maybe that's where I'll sort of arrive with Game Pass eventually. Maybe it's like, yeah, do you know what? I'm really enjoying this. I'll pay you up for it with the 20% discount or whatever. But then that's me, you know, going out of my way to make that decision, you know, to be a good little consumer. It's not like no one's forcing me to do that.
Yeah,
it's not...
I haven't got in me to do that stuff, yeah, if I'm totally honest. Like, I mean, like, I've played and completed your game for my subscription. I'm not going to then go, okay, I'll buy it as well. Like, that's just not in me.
I wonder if maybe it's, you know, maybe we still get the same sort of things on Game Pass, but it'll literally be, you know, much shorter windows for each game, because a lot of stuff that ends up on there at the moment, it's, you know, it's all up there for like a year or whatever. You don't even think about it, and you get a warning when stuff's leaving, and you kind of look and it's like, yeah, some games I wasn't really that fussed about anyway, whatever. But if it starts being like, no shit, everything's there for like a month, 2 months, then you'll start feeling of like, maybe I should just buy it if I like it then.
I'm always just terrified we're going to end up with like a race to the bottom, like with, you know, like with the App Store.
Yeah, but
and all
I don't think we will. I don't think we will, because big games, all right, there's a risk involved, but they do still sell crazy numbers, you know?
Yeah, and you know,
Cyberpunk still sold millions, you know what I mean? And then you look at things like Nintendo's output or a lot of Sony's stuff. Not all of it, but a lot of Sony's stuff. And you look at GTA, they're still going to be selling a hell of a lot of copies. You know, Red Dead Redemption 2 was still a massive earner. You know,
not if Microsoft buys everybody. If they do that, then it becomes a thing, doesn't it?
You know, we talked about this when what's it called? The fucking running around shooting criminals, being a superhero. The third one came out. Oh my god, was it Crackdown? Crackdown. Hell. When Crackdown 3 came out, and everyone was like, yeah, it's all right. And it was on Game Pass, so it doesn't matter. And it's like, well, hang on. this was meant to be a big deal. And we're all just sort of waving it off as like, well, bit of fun.
Wow, it was free, wasn't it? Who cares?
Yeah.
You know,
and how many other games are going to get that treatment? I mean, I promised myself I wasn't going to slag this off on the podcast, because I think it's a charming enough game, but I don't like it at all. Have any of you played Skatebird?
No. I mean, I played a demo at EGX and I was done within 30 seconds.
Yeah, it's really not very good, sadly. And I was just like, well, hats off to the devs for getting it on Game Pass, because I don't think this would have gone anywhere otherwise. It's got nothing from it, sadly. But again, that's one that people will load up for 10 minutes and be like, ah, it's the bird skating around, that's good. Delete, move on. And it's and that's weird. Or is it? I don't know. Maybe it's fine that happens, and it's like, well, there you go. People have sampled something they would not have otherwise, and then they've gone on with their lives. Like, is that...
My theory is then that Microsoft push for more stuff like that because of high engagement or whatever, and then it just becomes lots of things like that. Again, like the App Store.
They're not going to say, let's put a less than great indie game on. They want the best content, because more people will say, you've got to get it on Game Pass, you've got to get Game Pass. And then, so they still want the best content, because that's what will drive subscriptions.
I'd love to believe that that's the truth, Matt. But I just don't think it is. Like, if you look at everything, it's not like that.
What the options are, we put out loads of crummy indie games or some great games. Obviously, the great games are going to do much better for Game Pass subscriptions.
Have you seen how many people download games from the App Store, Matt, and how much money it makes?
Mm.
Yes, obviously.
Nah, I'm kind of with Matt here. I'm kind of here with Matt. I mean, it lives and breathes on people store, saying whether it's worth it or not.
It does at the moment, but if they hit critical mass, it doesn't matter so much.
I think it still matters. If a lot of people cancel their sub, that's going to hit them.
Yeah.
Exactly, but that's what I'm saying. If they hit, like, really huge numbers, then it doesn't matter because there'll always be enough people and it'll just gain more and more and more.
Well, yeah, but that's a future that hasn't happened yet.
It will always go up. Is that what you're saying?
No. If they start introducing like free-to-play and all that kind of thing into it, then it doesn't matter if people leave.
But they can't introduce free-to-play into Game Pass.
Of course they can.
Because then it's not free-to-play.
No, of course they can. Of course they can. They can release a game on Game Pass and then have in-app purchases. There's nothing to stop them doing that.
Yeah, they could do that, but that's not free-to-play, is it?
Well, it is free to play. Well, it's not free to play because it's on Game Pass or whatever.
It's not free to play.
I know, but they could introduce like DLC and things like that you have to pay for, basically.
Well, that's what they're doing now. Yeah, that's how developers are making their money. The games on Game Pass. Forza does that. Yeah, loads of games do that.
I know, but it could become an even bigger part of this, where games become even shorter and shorter and shorter. Where you're basically what Game Pass becomes is it becomes like a demo service, where you're then basically downloading the rest of the game. And that kind of defeats the point of it.
If it becomes a demo service, they'll lose a lot of subs, and they do not want to do that.
Well, yeah, obviously.
Yeah, you've got to remember, these are paying customers. This isn't the same as the eShop turn into shit. this is different.
Hmm.
But what I will say is that it's not only. I mean, most of these are valid, but it's also changing people's like buying habits in general. I mean, the whole waitress on Game Pass is a real thing. I mean, we bought Lake wasn't on Game Pass, and I was like, oh, whatever, 15-20 quid. But it's like, oh, hang on, I've actually been able to buy a game. It felt different and weird, and I haven't been used to having to buy a game because it's often on Game Pass.
Death Store was changing people's mindset.
Well,
Death Store was one that people just assumed was on Game Pass.
Yeah, Death Store as well. Yeah.
Well, because it's the joke, isn't it? Every time there's a Nintendo Direct, it's like, here's an indie Direct. Okay, how many of these are on Game Pass? You know, it's just
So, I mean, itself might have a negative connotations or negative. You know, it might negatively affect the whole industry if everyone is like, oh, will it be on Game Pass? I won't buy on Switch, it'll be on Game Pass. I won't buy on Xbox, it'll be on Game Pass. I won't buy on PlayStation, it may be on Game Pass. And that ultimately
we've had
will.
This before, though. We had this on, we'll wait until it's on PS Plus.
Yeah.
This will be on PS Plus. You know, we've had this.
But
this is
much more substantial because, hey, you know, will it come to Game PS Plus? Maybe, you know, so much is coming to Game Pass. So and it's not just affecting Xbox. It will be affecting people's habits, buying habits in general, I think.
You almost wonder if it would help if there was a precedent for, like if Microsoft just said, like, look, if it's not on Game Pass day one, it's not happening.
They wouldn't,
but do you know what I mean? If people had that clarity, that would sort of help. But then, yeah, they're never going to do that.
Yeah, and the devs are never going to say that because they might need it to go on Game Pass at some point.
Well, exactly, yeah. I'm fairly certain I've made this point on the show before, but for me, Game Pass being such good value for money means that, yeah, when something comes out that isn't on Game Pass, I'm perfectly willing to spend the money on it because I feel like I've already saved about 100 quid a month for all the things I've played for quote-unquote free via Game Pass. I'm just like, well, the 60 quid I'm not going to have to spend on Forza Horizon 5, well, that's potentially money I can spend on some indie stuff or whatever if I have to.
Yep.
So, I don't know.
Okay. No, it's fascinating. There's no way, real way of knowing what's going to happen until we're like, you know, 5-10 years down the line, but it's definitely going to make a lot of things change, the consequences.
Yes, we are. We'd have grown out by games, grown out of games by then.
That's true, yeah. next question comes from Dr. York Hunt.
Here we go.
Who says, hi, Felix and Sarah. She's not here.
Do you know him? Do all doctors know each other, James?
Yeah. Great guy.
See him down at the doctor clubs. Dr. York Hunt says, now that Ian and the guy from Star Wars have appeared on the podcast, has Dave's Rolodex of celebrity mates been exhausted, or does he have another star turn tucked up his sleeve? Appreciate you all.
I have got another famous friend.
Have you? Which one?
Yeah.
Do I know him?
I don't know if he wants his name mentioned, but he was in Game of Thrones.
Okay.
You ever seen that? That little show?
I've heard of it, yeah.
Yeah, he's an actor friend of mine. He's been in a bunch of stuff, but he's
a man called Kit most Harington.
He's so nuts. I think he's got like a action figure made of him as well, and it's really weird.
Is it Sean Bean? Is it Sean Bean?
It's Sean Bean, yeah.
No.
He was in like the last couple of series or whatever. I couldn't even tell you what his character is. I don't watch the show or anything. But it was kind of funny how he got this sort of very limited amount of fame in this intense space. And yeah, suddenly started getting recognised for it, which was nuts. But cool. No, he doesn't play video games. So no, he won't be coming on the show.
What a dick.
Do you guys know anyone famous?
I know David Turner's.
just me then, baby.
I know people who are well known within our circles, but not. I don't think I know anyone legitimately.
Get one of them on then. Fucking hell. Oh, I'm doing all the work over here.
Give Scrabs a ring. Get him on. Be all right.
Yep.
Ricky Rice Cooker. Says, does James still sit on top of wardrobes?
What does that mean? I don't know.
So this is right. Okay. So this was on the latest episode, Dark Calls, that went out. James, you said that it was really irritating that you wanted to play a game, and but Asher kept kept bothering you. So you just sit on top of a wardrobe and play it now.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, you said it on the point. You said it on that. When I was listening back, I thought, what? That is weird. Why haven't I pulled him up on that?
I'll have to listen back to that because I really don't remember that.
Yeah, it's really odd. You said, I just sit on top of a wardrobe now and play it. You can't get to me. I was like, what?
Wow. Amazing. Okay. Next question comes from V. Gina.
Gina, isn't it?
V.
says, I really couldn't care less which country James has moved to, but I am curious whether this is A, a temporary move, and B, does this mean it's even later for him at the end of the show than it was before?
I'd like to know this. Is it temporary or is it
It's not temporary. I've moved to Germany. That's where I live.
You've got to say that, and you know why he's saying that. You know why he's saying that, Matt.
Sean bleeping.
You know why he's saying that? He fucking tweeted out a picture the other day of his Casio keyboard and it had a German receipt on it. So we started getting messages saying, oh, he's in Germany then.
Yeah.
And the amount of people that were like, I know where he is because of this that we're emailing, that we've been ignoring over the past few weeks. I'll tell you why we've been ignoring that. You're probably sitting there going, oh, they're trying to keep it. They're trying to keep it a secret. Whatever. It wasn't. It's just very strange to know that people were trying to find out, Googling it and saying, oh, I found out. It's like, fair enough. Well done. Here's a prize. You found out where James has moved to, right? But also, think about the fact that you're Googling people from a podcast to try and find out where they live. That's a bit weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a bit weird.
Tiny bit weird.
But yeah, you absolutely fucked it, James.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
I mean, you'll be all right. Germany's very big.
Yeah,
Germany's lovely. How are you finding Germany?
It's nice.
Oh, I feel so free
it's
in
such
society.
A relief, isn't it? Do you remember
when we found out that you know people found out you lived in Canterbury and we could start saying that? And it felt a little bit naughty just saying that word. Now we can say Germany. How's Germany, man?
It's nice. Yeah, it's nice. So far, it's been pretty good. So it's kind of nice. Yeah.
Are you tempted to go to a football match out there?
I will do, yeah, when it's when I can.
Absolutely, yeah.
But yeah, I mean,
you've got to get to a football match out there.
Should be good. But yeah, it does mean that it is later for me now than it was before. It's 1 hour later, so that's nice.
Even though we're on British summertime at the moment, so if you're 1 hour later now, you're about to be 2 hours later.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
Oh, no. He's going to be starting recording at 10:30. What time is it now? Over here, it's 11:15, which, what is it, 1:15?
It's 12:15 at the moment, so yeah.
No, I mean, like, when the clocks go back.
Oh, it'll be 1:15. It'll be 1:15, yeah.
Oh, no.
Do
they not have daylight savings in Germany, then?
No, they the clocks change here as well. Okay.
So it'll always be 1 hour ahead.
Yeah. Imagine if they just changed the other way for a laugh. Made it even worse.
So you're actually 3 hours away.
I was pacing myself in Gran Canaria, so I didn't realise that this will be a thing that all phones do. It's just I haven't travelled abroad for a long time. So when we landed, it was my, you know, system clock on the home screen changed to show like local time and home time. I was like, oh, that's a really useful feature, except it's the same fucking time in Gran Canaria. So all I was doing was looking at the same time twice. All right. Next question comes from Juan Carr. Good evening, all.
They're not even trying anymore, are they?
It's going to be a dog.
The next email comes from Cunt. Okay, all right, that's fine, that one. Go on.
Juan says, evening all, love the podcasts and infighting again this year. Great entertainment on my commute to work. Following your high praise on the show, I've been playing Psychonauts 2, which I'm really enjoying. I've not played a game of this kind since I was a kid about 30 years ago. With me enjoying the fun platforming style gameplay, what other games in this genre would you recommend across any current console? Thanks and keep up the great work. You bring smiles to many people's faces. I want to say thank you. Oh, cheers.
Oh, cheers, Juan. I mean, obviously, if you've not played Super Mario Odyssey, that's top of the list, right?
God, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's just the best. It's the best one.
I'm trying to think if there's anything similar to Psychonauts, you know, like a 3D platformer with a bit of a story. I don't know if there is.
Do you consider Blinks the Time Sweeper?
it's a classic. It is a classic.
No, I mean, there's the thing. It's, you know, Ratchet and Clank would be a good shout if you enjoyed Psychonauts 2, but then that's more of a shooter than a platformer, so it feels completely different to play.
If you've got PS5, Astrobot.
Oh, God, yeah.
Astrobot's amazing, yeah, but there's no story involved, is there?
Mm.
It's not like... Yeah, I can't... That's a good point, because even Odyssey, the story is very, very loose throughout that gameplay.
I mean he mentions just like the platforming, so I guess if we stick with that, I mean, yeah, Mario Odyssey in it all day long,
yeah, that's the one. And then, you know, Bowser's Fury, that's worth playing.
Yeah, definitely,
that's good.
Next question.
Anything
with Mazer in it, the big Maz.
Next question comes from It's Turbo Time. Did TCGS, especially Christoph. Across the last few
weeks. What's that from? It's Turbo Time. That's from Jingle All the Way.
No,
that's Turbo Man.
No. But
let me read.
That was a really weird no you gave me then, Sean.
Yeah, sorry, I don't know what happened.
No.
Well, if you let me read the thing out. You'll find out. Across the last few weeks, a number of references to "I think you should leave" has dramatically increased. They may have even eclipsed references to The Office. Is it time for a list of TCGS required reading in order to help listeners keep up, or is it funnier to let people reach their own conclusions about why David has just started talking about jizzy ghosts? Much to consider.
the latter. It's clearly the latter.
So yeah, It's Turbo Time is definitely from Jingle All the Way. I knew it was Turbo Man, but yeah.
Oh, is it both?
There's 40 emails coming.
Yeah, doesn't he say it's Turbo Time at some point?
Does he? Oh, he
yeah,
does.
Yeah, that's the catchphrase, yeah. But listen, you're right, actually. There's still been Office references, but they've calmed down a little bit.
Mm.
But you got to remember that we went 3 years of intense Office quotes with Sean not even realising what an Office quote was. 3 or 4 years of it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, yeah, it's way better if people don't get it. I think you're in the know or you're not.
Yeah, 100%.
It must be so weird if you were a fan of the podcast for ages, like you listen to every episode, and then you were like, oh, I've never actually watched The Office, and then watched The Office and gone, this explains everything.
It's also
this explains
now.
Them saying "BB" all the time. Maybe if you just sit down, etc. What was I watching? I was watching a. Never mind. Boom. All right. What's next?
Tiny Tim. Says, hello, good sirs. Apart from being an 11-year-old footballer, I've recently been getting into music production. I was inspired by Mr. Farley's banging Fantasy Zone music. My goal is to write an entrance theme for our local football club, but I'd like to learn from the best. That's why I'm begging the Mixmaster General to please stream a session on the Music 2000 / MTV Music Generator for the OG PlayStation. I heard many influential producers started with that software, and it's the only program my stepdad has around the house. Much appreciated.
That is a fucking good shout, you know.
That would be very funny.
Playing music. Oh, James, do that.
Yeah, but how am I going to do that? Because I don't own this, and I doubt you can play it on PlayStation 5 or whatever.
No, but emulation exists, baby. So you do own it, but you've got no way of playing it,
right?
Oh,
that's true, yeah. I mean, I've got the disc, obviously.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
So if you were to make a legal backup of CD that disc, you'd be fine.
I'd watch that stream. That'd be great.
Yeah, man, that'd be really good fun.
Do you just download them when you're young, guys?
You've got
GarageBand.
That's true. Yeah.
Why don't you just? Yeah, I mean, it's funnier because it's music, I suppose. But at the same time, if you couldn't be bothered to do all the music stuff, just set up GarageBand and do a session on that one night.
Well, just like this is my process, and then just like
yeah,
create a piece. Yeah. You know, like over an hour or something. You know?
Yeah, take advice from the like. What should we add? Beat here? Something like that. I don't know. I'm not involved in music creation, but yeah, I'd watch that.
Maybe.
Well, that's settled then.
What a tease.
Next question comes from...
You know what he'll do, Sean?
Yeah.
He'll start the stream and go, "Hello, welcome to my music stream. Here's a pre-recorded thing that I did."
And then he'll hit play
and go, "Well, thanks for watching." I didn't want to do it live. There's too much pressure. Go on.
Next question comes from Numerous Sentient Eggs, who say, following David's critique of the architectural flaws of Moe's Diner during the Lake stream, I would up my Patreon money for some streams focused on analysing how various elements of game architecture would fail the building code. Wind load issues in Anor Londo, failure to adequately account for seismic activity in Aperture Labs, toilet distribution in the oldest house, that sort of thing.
Well, the first two things, sorry to disappoint you, that's structural engineer's job, so I wouldn't be able to help with that. Wind loads is not my bag, baby. Send an email off and tell me how strong it should be, baby. That was the one that sticks in my mind is it was the museum in Animal Crossing. And this isn't a dig, obviously, mm-hmm. because you know, whatever. But you said, honestly, I'd love to know what you think of it from an architectural point of view, because it just looks, you know, like it would be an actual working place.
It felt like it was full of loads of little details that made it seem believable,
Believable. And the first thing I said was, if you're in a wheelchair, Sean, how are you getting into that building or getting anywhere?
Accessibility.
Went, oh, yeah, good point. don't consider part M of the building regs, did I? it would be boring. And I don't talk about my job a lot in real life because I'm fully aware of how dull it can be.
Oh, mine's more boring than yours. 100%.
Yeah, but you're also, this is the thing, but you're also aware of that and you keep it to yourself, right?
That's true. Do you ever do the thing where, like, someone asks how if Joe asks how your day at work was, and you sort of start answering, and then you literally mid-sentence, you're just like, actually, do you know what? Don't worry about it.
I sort of just go, yeah, I was busy. Like, that's about it, because I know that she once said to me, I hate the way you say cladding. And I just went, okay, well, I'll never talk about my job ever again.
Well,
to
I have
you.
To say it all the time, every day. So thanks for the pep talk.
It's true. It really hit me.
Last question comes from.
Also, intro music, James.
I'm assuming we're not off that yet.
Okay. I'm assuming you've got an MP3 version to give to Sean so he can edit it into the show, right?
Of course, I haven't. I mean, I'll make one.
Come on, James, fuck off, right?
It takes seconds to just rip an MP3 version off that. I could do it right now. It takes seconds to do it.
Well, go on then.
Okay, maybe do it then.
Right, I will do it. I'll do it right now, as we're speaking.
I genuinely don't mind. I'd already assumed I was just going to rip the audio from the video, but...
yeah, but it's the assumption that hurts.
It's true, cool. Right, last question comes from Maria Mendiato. Says, "Dear TCGS Cobots, with Sean and James being swapped out in previous episodes and with Deathloop featuring a villain that could be played by either the AI or another human, I'm becoming paranoid. Which one of you would most likely to be replaced by AI without the other three noticing?"
I've got an answer.
Oh, go on.
I'm keeping it to myself for now. I'm interested to hear Matt's view.
I think James would be the easiest to fake.
We'll
feed the AI, you know, loads of the stuff he studied, obviously.
That's true.
Also, Jack Dean's autobiography.
Mm.
And I think we'll be 99% of the way there.
This doesn't sound easy at all. Oh, yeah, let's just cram all of James's, like, higher education into a computer. That sounds like a really hard thing to do.
I mean, we're talking about AI. Well, let's just... that's the easy bit, giving it data. It's how it interprets.
Haven't you seen Short Circuit? When he reads the books, he just flips through them.
Johnny Five.
Yeah. He's alive.
He is alive. Isn't
he? Hey, that rhymed.
Oh, could we put James's AI in a Johnny Five body?
Oh, my God, I'd love that. No, not one of those. One of the NES robot things, which is like a little mini Johnny Five.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Johnny Five, James would not be easy to emulate. James would not be easy to emulate. I don't agree with that at all. His reaction to things, like when he names stuff on the spot.
Yeah.
You can't teach a computer to do that.
No. There's no AI advanced enough to do that.
I think if you fed a computer the the full lore of Destiny,
here we go,
and made them sort of not agree or disagree to things, then we can replace Sean. It's
called diplomacy, Dave. Fucking hell.
James, thoughts?
Sorry, I'm just ripping this audio.
I mean, do it off the show. Don't do it on the show. Hold on. Let's test. James, what's your answer to the question we've been talking about?
My answer to the question is you.
Really?
You reckon?
The host?
Yeah.
The talent?
I think, Dave, I think we could do you with just a load of sound bites, like with the soundboard.
Yeah, one of those boards. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Come on, mate. The way I describe games... It's the most beautiful.
That's the easy bit. We'll just get us a Philip Moose in IGN reviews. Halfway there.
Matt Murray, are you accusing me of stealing ideas for opinions?
No. Why have you said that? Why did
because you... that's what you just said. We will nick a load of Philip Moose reviews and stuff them into the AI and it will be you. How was I supposed to take that?
Oh, I don't know, but oh, it's funny you said that. Oh, that's weird.
Glass houses. Right. This isn't a nice question, is it?
No, it's got a bit. Yeah, it's taken a turn, hasn't it?
I don't know if it has. I mean, it started pretty brutal this episode, didn't it? Okay, is that it for questions?
It is.
Dave, you didn't talk about Lake in what you've been playing.
I thought that. I figured he chose not to for strategic reasons.
I assumed, you know what, you've done so much, you want to go and finish on your own time.
I hated the hour that I played, but really? I played an hour. So
I sent him a message and said,
play some more.
How's Lake? And he just replied, just said, awful.
I think the word I used was wank.
It was wank, trying to soften it, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to go into it, Matt, because I don't want to shit on it. You've enjoyed it, and I've barely played enough of it to form an opinion, but I was absolutely blown away with how unrealistic the conversations were between people. If it's a game based on social interaction in a chilled-out setting, it completely fails the social interaction bit, because, you know, don't ask your post person that you're meeting for the first time to take your cat somewhere. I just rejected that. I was like, no, I'm not taking your cat. Also, she was so rude to me.
Yeah, she was really rude, yeah.
Horrible woman.
I was trying to make nice in a new town, you know.
Right. I mean, it does... Make nice in a new town is the episode title we got there. It took us two hours and... nearly 3 hours to get to the episode title, but we got there.
I mean, it basically turns out she's just, like, mistreating the cat anyway.
Yeah. So, yeah, good. Oh, have you played that bit, have you?
In the demo, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Spoilers, Sean.
Sorry.
He was going to play that.
Yeah. No, I already rejected that whole side quest, so, you know. Right, cool. That's it. That's the show. Matt, socials.
Yes. This Thursday, Bell Shaddai.
Oh, my God, yes.
It's happening.
I'm excited. I'm going to play a game.
Bell Shaddai.
that only I liked 10 years ago, and maybe it's bad now. Let's find out together.
So that's El Shaddai, but no, it's Bel Shaddai. I mean, not that we're doing like streams based on puns or anything, but no, Bel Shaddai is too good to miss out on, isn't it? That is this Thursday from 9 p.m. Friday, James is still on Dark Souls 2. That's Friday from 9 p.m. You still enjoying that, aren't you, James?
I am. I really enjoyed it last weekend. It was brilliant. Yeah, really good.
Brilliant. And they're both on twitch.tv/tcgsco. If you have Amazon Prime, you have Twitch Prime. And with that, you get one free sub a month. And we would really appreciate if you went over to our channel, perhaps when Sean's streaming on Thursday or James is streaming on Friday, and give us your free monthly sub. If you miss those streams live, they'll be on our YouTube channel, and you can catch up with James's Dark Souls 2 streams by searching TCGS on YouTube. On speaking about Dark Souls, Dark Calls is happening every Friday morning. That well, I can't remember what the next episode's about, but it's bloody good every Friday morning. That is not on this feed, obviously. It's on another Dark Calls feed. Search for Dark Calls in your podcast service of choice. We're on Patreon, patreon.com/TCGS for live talksovers, exclusive monthly podcasts. Next month's going to be this month's going to be a banger, and some other stuff as well. And TCGSco is the website. TCGS.co is the website for links to our store and our Discord and all sorts of other stuff.
Are we telling them what we're talking over? Should we reveal that?
Oh, yeah.
For the people that stay to the end?
Yes,
yeah, cheeky little treat.
Yeah.
We're watching Nightmare.
Yeah, man.
We're going
to watch
a couple
of episodes of Nightmare.
We need to
come and join us.
Should we have a little Google to see if there's like any famous episodes?
Yes. We absolutely need to do that and watch those ones. I'm unaware of a specific episode that took the world by storm, but we should look into that. And for the rest of you, thank you so much for living it. We will catch you on the next podcast for more nonsense. We love you all. Goodbye.
Love most of you. There's probably a few I could do without.
Yeah, I mean, totally, but...
Statistically, it's bound to happen, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
It certainly is. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.